We will cut off assistant coach Kelly Kane as we are ready to kick off the football game between the Silver Streaks and the Rock Island Rocks. As everything's just kind of timed off a little bit here tonight with the playoff game that is now two outs at the bottom of the ninth inning, and Chipper Jones on first base with a chance to keep things alive for the Atlanta Braves in a weird, weird wild card playoff game as Rock Island returns the opening kickoff to the 50-yard line behind Derek Willis, who's going to be a standout wide receiver for this team. He's the leading receiver with over 463 yards catching through the air this year. And he takes the opening kickoff actually to the 49, and we are underway. Sophomores and Rock Island tied at 8 tonight, so second tie of the year for the sophomores. They're now 1-3-2. Their only victory and both ties have come in Western Big Six conference games. The Rocks are 5-0 on the season, and flags fly as this play gets underway. We're going to have illegal motion by Rock Island, and they get a penalty to start the game. Oh, they give offsides against the Silver Streaks, so I take that back. Well, penalties for the Silver Streaks have really mounted here in the last two games, and they get one on the first play from scrimmage here tonight.
A little anxious to get the jump on the ball, and on that opening kickoff, as you mentioned, Brad, Derek Willey's returning. He was the fellow that Kelly Kane referred to, a transfer into Rock Island, who's brought them, as if they needed any more speed,
yeah,
an extra dynamic with all those receptions, and he nearly broke that kickoff, got it out to midfield.
So first down for the Rocks, and again, the Streaks jump. No flags this time as the play goes to the right side, and getting to the outside, ball gets stripped away from behind and then knocked out of bounds right on the Galesburg sideline. So the Rocks will hang on to it, onto the possession, as they got enough for the first down. And two really good running backs out of the backfield. Markell Richardson, the senior, and Brandon Richardson, the junior. Richardson is the smaller of the two at 5'10", but he's still 180 pounds. Markell Richardson at 6'1", 185. And the Rocks already at the Silver Streak 36-yard line after an offsides penalty. An opening kickoff that goes nearly to midfield. A pass behind Willie's. He one-arms it, and he's inside the 20-yard line before the Silver Streaks finally run him out of bounds on the home side of the field. They'll actually mark him at the 21.
Willie's already showing off that skill set that has him recruited to Iowa. Nice one-arm catch that time. And so the Streaks seeing the Rocks' athleticism early on the previous play, Richardson on that right side was able to turn that corner. He got the edge so quickly. Nobody we've seen this year has been able to get out there with that kind of speed on us and turn the corner. And so our linebackers, our secondary, who for the most part have been able to come up and fill and keep the east-west corner from being turned, going to have trouble with that tonight.
And, of course, defensively for the Silver Streaks, they have had a hard time defending the pass. As the quarterback goes back, lofts one to the far side of the corner, and it's caught by Willies. He gets inside the pylon, and 47 seconds into the game, Rock Island shows the quick scoring ability and a 6-0 lead.
Well, and the thing that makes them so tough is that ability to both run and throw the ball, and with so many different players. And Willies is one of those guys. He reminds me kind of a Brandon Marshall of the Bears. I mean, he's big enough that you might know that they're going to target him, but you can't do anything about it because he is such a big target with good hands, and it's going to be a tough night handling him.
Well, just like Josh Augusta for Peoria Central at 6'5", the Silver Streaks couldn't do anything to stop him anytime the Lions threw the ball to him that night. So three plays, 51 yards, 47 seconds. Rock Island Rocks take an early 6-0 lead on the extra point afterward.
Well, we've heard the cannon and the train horn for a touchdown, and we hope we're not hearing that all night. A lot of their opponents have heard plenty of that this year. And the Silver Streak, who have been tough on the road, 3-0 so far, down in a hole on the first possession here at Rock Island.
Rocks come in averaging better than 31 points a game. Silver Streaks averaging just under 19 a game. Silver Streaks are 4-2 on the strength of their defense this year, but it sure didn't show on that opening drive as they have their hands full here tonight.
Well, and keep in mind, Rock Island averaging 31 points a game, and that includes only scoring 6 in their opener. So
that's
that right. Shows you what they've done since that time. They'd probably like to have Belleville East one more time, see if they can make that a little closer game. But it was probably a great thing for Brian Storrs, the head coach, to get his team a little wake-up call early in that to say, okay, we got some work to do, and that always seems to get the kids' attention a little bit more when they get their hats handed to them once, and since that time they've been awfully tough.
So the Silver Streaks ready to return this kickoff now with Holloway and Diggins deep, with the kick coming up a little bit short, bouncing inside the 20, taken by Holloway on the bounce, trying to work his way to the middle of the field, cuts back to the outside, and he's wrapped up at the 20-yard line by Rashawn Brown. And the Silver Streaks will have to take it 80 yards to get back into this game down early, 7-0. We haven't even played a minute yet. And Coach Tim already saying that, you know, there's a little bit of defense by offense strategy here tonight because Rock Island can score so quickly, as we just saw. You can put together a sustained drive, keep it out of their hands for a while, and then, more than anything, put some points on the board. And you've got a chance to pull off the upset up here. But that is a big task here with 48 full minutes as the handoff goes to the right side, and Trevon Diggins gets pounded at the 20-yard line as he takes the first handoff. He was the leading rusher for the Silver Streaks last week with 91 yards against Holloman. Jonathan Mixon was shut down for 25 yards on just 12 carries, and Diggins gains nothing here on first down.
And he was hit by the same guy that made the tackle on the kickoff. Rashawn Brown fired up, the senior linebacker out there getting the job done on the first down play. And as you said, Brad, we need to control the football for some long stretches of time tonight to keep it away from Rock Island.
On second and 10, handoff goes to the outside. Streaks trying to run a little bit east-west, but cannot get to the corner, cannot get to the outside. A gain of maybe a yard. On second down, it's going to bring up third and 9. Galesburg was terrible on third and 9 last week, converted only 1 of 9 against that tough Rock Island Alleman defense, and they're pinned deep here at the 21-yard line on third and 9 in the early going.
Yeah, the weather conditions, if they're good next week, what a crowd they will have for Alleman and Rock Island for what could likely be the conference title, unless, again, we can pull off the upset here tonight.
Handoff goes up the middle. Man in motion was Holloway. Streak started to run it the other direction, and it does not go anywhere. In fact, Galesburg loses a yard, maybe two. And that's going to bring up fourth down very quickly. And interesting, Jim, we were talking about Jonathan Mixon before we went on the air here tonight. And Matt Kitch gets his first carry of the game and a real indication about Mixon's health situation.
Yeah, in fact, I asked assistant coach Kelly Kane about the ankle, and he just looked at me. And, of course, they're not really allowed to say anything anymore because of HIPAA rules. But just from the look he had in his eye, I knew that that Jonathan was far from 100%, and he doesn't even show up on the first offensive possession.
Drake Sykes gets a high punt up into the air. The Streaks watch it come down just short of the 50-yard line. Takes a little bit of a Galesburg roll, and it's stopped at the Rock Island 46. A great field position. Not even 3 minutes into the game, Rock Island already up 7-0 and right near midfield taking over.
You know, what a situation Brian Storch, the new Rock Island coach, stepped into here with a lot of good athletes. He comes in, of course, a good track record of his own at Lake Zurich. But to try and fill in the shoes of longtime legend Vic Boblett, it looks like Storch is not losing a step at all with this program.
To the outside, here's Richardson trying to get to the outside, gets into Galesburg territory, run out of bounds inside the 40-yard line. It's Markell Richardson with the carry. One play, first down for Rock Island again. They'll spot it at the 38 for a gain of 16.
You know, Rock's a very up-tempo team. They don't waste much time in the huddle. They're up to that line of scrimmage. It's not what I call a hurry-up offense, I guess, but they that huddle is very brief. It's somewhere between the traditional approach and the hurry-up.
Man in motion is Richardson. He takes the toss, trying to get to the outside. A nice, good low tackle by Ben Holloway. Brings him down right at the 35-yard line. Still a gain of 3. But he takes down Richardson before he could really get into full stride. And nice, solid tackle by Holloway.
Yeah, how many times have we said that already?
That's true.
Just into the seventh week of the season. He's such a good tackler, especially for a sophomore. He wrapped him up down low. And if he would have needed any help, well, Brian Allen was over there high, ready to finish off the tackle as well.
Atlanta Braves actually get the tying run to the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning, but can't get the job done. And the Cardinals win 6-3. They will play Sunday afternoon in the division series. Pass to the outside. The Silver still almost brought in by Willies on the far side of the field. It was Michael Moss who got in there and broke it up, almost came down with the interception, and then Willie's almost came down with a catch, and it ended up falling incomplete out of bounds.
So the Cardinals are a winner. We will have them again Sunday. If I remember right, I think 112 was what I saw, and we'll have to check with Brian back at the studio. I don't remember if that was the pregame time or the actual game start time, but it will be an early afternoon game on Sunday for the Cardinals hosting the Washington Nationals.
On third and seven, toss to the outside to Brandon Richardson. Tries to stutter step and then does get outside. Holloway's ankle tackle, working all the way down the far side of the field, inside the five before finally run out of bounds, and the Rocks have a first and goal.
I was afraid we'd have the tiger by the tail coming up here tonight, and in the early going, it sure looks like that. This team is, Rock Island gets better and better every week, and of course, if we do not have the services of Jonathan Mixon on both sides of the ball, sometimes we forget, you know, he's such a good running back that he's a force on the defensive side of the ball, too. Not the night to not have his speed and his strength out there, and the Rocks are making quick work of us so far.
First and goal from the Galesburg 6. We've played just over 4 minutes in this opening quarter. Chapman fakes left, rolls right, throws, complete, touchdown Rock Island. They are making it look easy here tonight with a reception to Quinton Holmes.
You know, we wondered if they would be ready to play because they took the shortest warm-up time on the field we've ever seen. You know, the sophomore game ended so early, and the Streaks took advantage of that, came out. They warmed up for probably a good 25 minutes before we ever saw the Rocks. It was probably quarter after 7 before they came out. Were on the field for 5 minutes and left, but apparently keeping warm in the clubhouse has worked out for them.
So after the traditional running game of Rock Island under Vic Boblett for the last 20 years, Rock Island comes out and scores two quick passing touchdowns and leads 14-0. 7:52 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
We've played 4 minutes and 8 seconds here at Rock Island, and already 14-0, the Rock Island Rocks on top. 21-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Zach Chapman to Derek Willis, and now a 6-yard touchdown pass from Chapman. From Chapman to Quinton Holmes. So the Silver Streaks will have their second possession. Without a first down yet in the game and needing a lot of first downs to get back in the game here. 7:52, another short kick. It'll be Kitch taking it, dropping it, and then picking it back up at the 22-yard line and stopped almost immediately as he picked it up. And thank goodness for the Streaks, he was able to pick it back up.
That's the last thing you want to do is hand the ball back to them again after what they've done to us twice already. And that Kitch fortunate to be able to pick that one up again on a cold night. I can understand why you might drop the ball, but can't afford that at this point. And we've got to put together something offensively here if we're going to avoid being blown out early in this one.
1:32 for the Cardinals pregame on WGIL Sunday afternoon. The Washington Nationals at Busch Stadium for game one of the division series. Handoff going to the right. Mixon trying to run over some people. Good positive yardage for the Silver Streaks on first down. Starts at the 30, gets up to about the 33. It'll bring up second and seven. Nice to see Mixon able to do a little bit out there. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to give him 6 on the carry. So apparently it started, I thought they were spotting it at the 30 to start. Spotted at the 27. So he gains 6 on first down. Handoff goes to the left side, just an inside left tackle. Streaks bully their way across the 33, close to the 37-yard line. It'll be close to a first down.
I want to think that was Holloway, wasn't it?
Yep.
And he got a nice block out there from Mixon to lead the way. So exactly what we need, a first down, and let's put together four or five of those and get back in this game.
They don't even measure. Ball just about halfway between the 37 and the 38-yard line. So Holloway able to move the chains, and the Streaks get their first down of the night.
That was not going anywhere.
And broken play. Broken up by the defense, getting in there, stopping Mixon before he can really do anything with it. They'll mark it back at the 37-yard line. Just inside the 37, so we'll go ahead and credit Mixon for a loss of one. Sophomores, as we mentioned, tied tonight, 8-8 with Rock Island. They're now 1-3-2. Isaacson on the play action, hands off left. Not much running room for Holloway again, trying to weave his way through a hole up the middle. Stopped short of the 40-yard line. Gain of a couple. And already a third down again for the Silver Streaks as we are at the midpoint of the first quarter. Good luck to Candy Dawson of Galesburg. First contestant in our Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest. If the Streaks can score in this remaining 5 minutes and 50 seconds of the first quarter, if they can score a touchdown, Candy Dawson of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate at Liebers Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Third and 9 now for the Silver Streaks, and flags fly.
Third and 14 now. Somebody jumped on the left side of that line.
Penalties again hurting the Silver Streaks. They had one on the very first play from scrimmage tonight. And already a third and 9, didn't need to go backwards any farther.
You know, this is one of those, we knew this would be tough, Alleman and Rock Island back-to-back, and if we should happen to lose this game decisively, then it becomes a bit of a rebuilding job for Coach, the whole coaching staff with the streak going into next week, because that's that Quincy game that's just going to weigh so large. You hate to have the kids coming off a couple of big setbacks, but again, right now, Rock Island's looking awfully good.
On the toss, they give to Mixon, who's going to throw the ball downfield. Man open, and Will Anderson can't come up with the catch at the 40-yard line. He got in behind the secondary and was wide open. Wasn't exactly a crisply thrown ball by Mixon, but it was accurate. And Anderson, feeling the pressure of two defenders within 5 yards of him, just couldn't bring in the catch.
Well, a really good play call, because if they execute that the way they could, that might be a touchdown. But Anderson had to wait up for the ball to come to him, and by the time he got his hands on it, one of the Rock Island defenders able to get over there and bump it away from him.
So the Streaks on 4th and 14 have to punt the ball away. It's taken by Willies at the 34-yard line, trying to get up the far side, and he's piled out of bounds. But again, at the 46-yard line. So third straight possession that the Rocks have terrific field position with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, already leading 14-0.
Well, I know United Township made a couple of errors in that one last week and gave Rock Island a short field, and they make short work of a short field. Make no doubt about that. We'll see what they do here. They're 2-for-2 on touchdowns so far as they approach the line again.
So they have started each of their drives from their own 49, their own 46, and now again from the 46-yard line. Handoff up the middle to Brandon Richardson. Brought down for a gain of a couple up to the 48, maybe 49-yard line. Just short of midfield. Second and 7 upcoming. Well, and talking about Quincy, they had a tough loss at home last week to Moline.
Yeah, and they gave this Rock Island team all they could handle at Quincy, which is kind of scary. But, of course, we beat Moline, and they couldn't. So I guess the comparing scores is always kind of a head-scratcher.
The Western Big Six definitely shaping up, at least from what we've seen in the first half of this first quarter, as two teams and everybody else. As another piling run tacked on by Markell Richardson inside the Galesburg 40. He just picked up defenders and kept dragging them with him down to the 38. A gain of 13 for Markell Richardson. Well, Streaks defense needs to find some answers and quickly, or else they're going to be down 3 touchdowns here in this first quarter, as they have not shown any ability to stop Rock Island here in the early going.
Yeah, and I thought maybe on this cold night the Rocks would be a little more content to just run the ball, but they've mixed it up so well, and it's actually in the passing that's hurt us a little more than the running so far.
The quarterback is Zach Chapman, 6'1 senior, who's been extremely effective passing. He throws another one across the middle, caught by Holmes again inside the 30-yard line. Streaks are able to bring him down immediately after the catch. But it's enough for another first down for the Rock Island Rocks, and they'll have the ball at the Galesburg 27.
Well, it is a little scary going forward, too, with this Rock Island program. And Vic Bobler did a great job, make no mistake about that. But Brian Stewart's coming from up in Lake Zurk. The Chicago and the suburban schools up there, they throw the ball really well. And you're seeing that here. And this team is going to be a load to handle for many years if they buy into this passing offense and run it the way they have so far tonight.
Toss to the outside. Brandon Richardson trying to get to the corner. Streaks are able to get on top of him, and then he sneaks through and gains another 5 yards after the initial hit. Down inside the 20 to the 18-yard line. Sorry, to the 13-yard line.
You know, for years, most of the schools in the Western Big Six, from time to time, we'd see a team that could throw the ball pretty well. But even then, you know, maybe 10, 12 passes a game. But Rock Island, with those athletes, might be the time that could put it up 20, 25 times if they needed to.
Got Brandon Richardson for 56 yards already on just four carries. First down from the 13-yard line. The fake toss. Chapman rolling to the near side under pressure. Gets the pass away, and it's incomplete just outside the 10-yard line. Intended for Holmes again. A little bit underthrown. Kitch and Holloway right there for the coverage. Only the second incompletion of the night in six attempts for Zach Chapman.
Late first half, Tom Meredith tells us from the Peoria area that Central leads Richwoods 14-7.
Oh, how about that?
Kendrick Foster of Richwoods did go over 1,000 yards for the third straight year. I think he only needed 39 yards tonight, so that was a slam dunk.
Yeah, I think we could have figured out that was going to happen.
But Central, boy, do they need that game. If they could beat Richwoods, that would be quite a feat.
They've dropped back to 3-3 after losses to Quincy Notre Dame and Peoria Notre Dame. Richardson trying to get to the outside, and the Streaks are able to string him out, and then knock him out at the 3-yard line. But we've got a flag down in the, right at about the line of scrimmage, and it's going to be a hold against the Rocks, and this one will come back anyway. So the first penalty against Rock Island of the night. Let's see if that can give the Silver Streaks a chance to slow this down a little bit. 2:45 to go first quarter. Rocks lead 14-0. Ball moved back to the 23. It'll be second and 20.
Peyton Isaacson over here on the near sideline, always keeping, especially on a cool day, you want to just keep loose, keep throwing that football, and that's what he's doing right now. And Peyton has not been asked to throw it a whole lot this year as a sophomore, but we're getting a big hole here early. We may have to try and put it in the air a little more.
Only 26 pass attempts in the first six games of the season. Toss to the outside, trying to find some running room through holes, and they do. And inside the 15-yard line goes Daquan Jones, getting the holding yardage back and a little bit more down to the 10.
And again, just sheer speed that we haven't seen. We had O'Brien Allen on one side of him, and I think it was Trevon Diggins the other side. There's a couple of good athletes with good speed, and he just split the gap and went right through them. That's just something that hasn't happened to us all year.
Gain of 13 to the 10-yard line, and it'll bring up third and six for Rock Island. Approaching the two-minute mark of the first quarter, Rocks leading by two touchdowns, looking for more. Chapman tosses to the outside. Richardson stutter steps, trying to find a hole. Stopped just across the 10, short of the 5-yard line, and then pushed backwards.
Whole host of Galesburg tacklers there, probably five or six able to shoving back, led by O'Brien Allen. As the Streaks say, well, you may score, but not on this play. Maybe we can make a stand like Allman did against us last week when we got down to the 5-yard line.
And yeah, first and goal from the 5. And
that was the one that sealed the deal. If we could have punched that in, we might have had a little life. But once they shut us down there on that, that was pretty well it.
Talking to Tim Doherty yesterday about that play as Rock Island calls timeout, wanting to think it over on 4th and 4 here. Of course, it happened on the field across from him. It was on the Allman sidelines. You might remember Trevon broke free, got down the sideline, and was bumped. And the lead official standing in the end zone called it a touchdown, but the trailing official who was coming in from the backside said Diggins was knocked out of bounds.
Right.
Coach Tim Doherty said he watched the video, and Diggins did not step out of bounds. And he lamented that yesterday, saying, you know, if they can score there, because they had stopped Allman, they had shown an ability to move the ball on the Pioneers in the second half. He said, you know, football's one of those games where you get a big play like that, maybe the momentum switches a little bit. Of course, he still felt the biggest play of the game was Isaacson fumbling the ball inside the Galesburg 20 and giving Alleman that short field and falling behind 14-0 early on.
Well, and you're supposed to get those calls on your home field.
That's right.
Didn't get it there last week. So, Rock Island, we're going to kick a field goal here. Huh. Well, good. We held them at least to a three-point attempt.
Rock Island has shown some weaknesses in the kicking game this year. They're only 67% on extra point attempts, and now the field goal attempt is well off the mark to the left. Doesn't come anywhere near the height or the, well, might have had the distance. It didn't even have the height, and it was a good 15 yards left off accuracy. So not only do the Streaks hold them to a three-point attempt, they hold them scoreless with a minute 22 to go in the first quarter, but still down. Two touchdowns, 14-0, and need to show the ability to move the ball here.
Yeah, good confidence booster to at least get the stop. And, well, there's Achilles' heel for Rock Island. It may not cost them in the Western Big Six, but, well, maybe next week when they play Alleman. But you get in the state tournament, you can't kick. You're probably not going to beat the good teams. You've got to have a decent kicking game, and right now that doesn't look too sharp for them.
End off up the middle, good hole for Diggins, and he runs into the secondary at about the 30-yard line and pushed backwards, but good movement by the Silver Streaks on first down to hopefully move the chains here and put together a scoring drive with a minute 15 to go in the first quarter. Nice hole opened up by that offensive line.
Of course, Rock Island had J.J. Tubbs for a number of years up here kicking and ended up in Champaign kicking for the Fighting Illini. He is definitely not here this year.
Inside a minute to go in the first quarter. 14-0 Rock Island. Silver Streaks with a high toss to Diggins on the outside, but he gets the arms up there, brings it in, and then uses those strong arms to hang on to it as a mob Rock Island defender swarms on top of him. Short of the 30-yard line, and Trevon will end up losing three on that play. Back at the 27.
You mentioned the Fighting Illini. We'll have their game tomorrow, 2 o'clock pregame. They play the Badgers in Wisconsin. Rob Strack standing here next to us, and Rob gives the right arm fist pump, and I don't think that was for the Illini.
After the way they looked against Penn State last week, it's hard to get too excited about what the Illini might be in for the rest of this year. 14 seconds to go and counting here in the first quarter. Streaks on a 2nd and 13 from their own 27-yard line. And again, motion by the right side of the Silver Streaks offensive line by two different players that time. Everybody could see that one. And the 5-yard penalty will move him back now to 2nd and 18 with 7 seconds to go in the first quarter.
And they'll wind it off, and that we'll have to wait till the second quarter for the next down.
14-0 Rock Island after one. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Constantly reaching for the remote, not to channel surf, but to turn the volume up and up and up. This is one of the most common signs of hearing loss. You should consider a Starkey hearing aid. The improved digital technology allows you to program settings to make listening easier, no matter where you are. The wireless technology allows your hearing aid to automatically adjust to your TV, phone, and iPod, so you aren't constantly turning the volume up. Call the Knox County Hearing Center for a free hearing evaluation. Knox County Hearing Center on Henderson Street, behind Lim's Ice Cream.
Tune in to Fighting Illini football tomorrow afternoon as the Illini take on Wisconsin. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
The Fighting Illini play here. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
At Rock Island, one quarter gone. The Rocks lead the Silver Streaks 14-0. Early second quarter. Quincy over United Township 21-0. And no score yet from Moline and Alleman in the 100th anniversary game at Browning Field tonight. Silver Streaks, after a 5-yard penalty, face 2nd and 18 from their own 22-yard line. Down 2 touchdowns. Peyton Isaacson brings the team set. Man in motion, Diggins. Fake toss, gives it to Mixon. Finds his way across a hole. Still on his feet, trying to fight his way forward. Gets to the 25-yard line and across the 25 on a hard, hard run by Jonathan Mixon on an ankle that is less than 100%. And that's encouraging, but you wonder how much of that he can handle throughout the course of the night.
Yeah, and that was all upper body, I think. A lot of times you'll see a running back driving those legs, and that is important, but Mixon is so strong up top. Finally, James Morrow, you can see him for Rock Island. He was trying to wrestle Mix down and just kept getting pushed back. And I think Morrow's thinking, what I got to do to bring this guy to the ground? Finally he did, but not after a decent gain.
Back to pass. Isaacson looking near sideline, just over the hands of an outstretched Rock Island defender. But O'Brien Allen can't come up with a catch, and he might have been shielded a little bit by that attempted interception. It'll bring up fourth down now for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Allen was over there, oh, probably 2-3 yards shy of the stick. I'm sure we were thinking, well, complete it, turn it up for a yard or two, and maybe get that first down. But timing wasn't quite right, and so we will kick it away here again.
11:15 is where the Silver Streaks will give up the ball here. Nice block to allow Sykes to get the punt away to Willies and dragged down by the jersey as Trevon Diggins gets downfield in a hurry. Locked on with the fingers and pulled him down. But again, for the third time in four possessions, the Rocks will start off at their own 46-yard line.
Yeah, Willie's trying to be a little tricky there. Caught it and then turned his body completely around and was going to loop to the Rock Island side. But Trevon, too fast for him and dragged him down from the back.
The quarterback, Zach Chapman, has had a terrific year for the Rock Island Rocks. And he is one of many offensive threats. He brings the line set. Back to pass. A swing pass to the outside. Almost picked off, but it's complete. Two Willies up the far side of the field inside the 40-yard line of Galesburg.
Is it Michael Moss? I think it was. Yeah, out there and nearly intercepted that. And, you know, that to me, that's a great try by Moss because, yeah, he may have given up a few extra yards there because he didn't stay there for the tackle, but he was so close to getting that, and if he gets that, he scores.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those plays. If you can get the pick, all you got is green in front of you. He would have scored easily, but just a hair off.
Goes as a 14-yard gain, already 67 yards through the air tonight for quarterback Zach Chapman. Three wideouts to the right, in motion, handoff up the middle to Richardson, right into a pile of Silver Streaks defenders. It'll be a very short gain on first down. So the Streaks clog the middle. They're able to stop Brendan Richardson on the first down carry, a gain of just a yard. On second and nine, Chapman with a toss to the backside, trying to get to the outside. Another good tackle by Holloway and a flag down in the backfield. Daquan Jones trying to get to the corner, and Holloway just came out of nowhere. Dove at his ankles, rolled him down, and a holding penalty against Rock Island is going to move them back 10 yards, back into their own territory at the 49.
Yeah, Holloway, you could see him. He just makes a great angle towards the ball carrier coming across from the middle. And you could see him 5 yards from where the contact was made as he was slanting in there. And as so often he does, able to get down low and make the tackle. He won't get any credit for it because we ended up taking the penalty against Rock Island, but it's still a terrific play.
Got it back at the Rock Island 48-yard line now. In the shotgun now goes Chapman with a single setback, quick drop, pass across the middle, deflected, and then through the hands of Trevon Diggins for the interception. It falls incomplete. Attempted to Daquan Kidder across the middle, and then it went with his hands and I deflected so quickly off him to Trevon that for the deflection, and he wasn't able to bring it in either. So Streaks have come awfully close on spot.
Well, and it's on a night like this, it's tough for your receivers to catch a ball with that much mustard on it. I mean, he put it right on the hands of Daquan Jones, but it was one of those John Elway bullets, and he just could not get his hands around that thing.
Third and 20 in the shotgun again. Chapman looking near side, now flushed out of the pocket. He'll hang on to it, and he runs back to the 50 inside Galesburg territory to the 49-yard line, but the Streaks bring him down. Tyson Parks makes the tackle. And it brings up fourth down for Rock Island. So the penalty slows them down, and the Streaks defense is able to hold.
So nice, couple of possessions in a row now. Streak's defense has come up, kept Rock Island off the board, kept it still a two-touchdown game. Early on, we didn't know we'd ever stop this team at all after they went through us so easy the first two times.
Okay, the first punt of the night for Rock Island. Streak's put a rush on. The punt is away. And Trevon Diggins isn't anywhere near the ability to take that one down, and he just lets it roll, and the Rock Island Rocks will down it at the 12. So deep territory for Galesburg here. It's been a complete opposite. And talk about winning the field position battle. It's been all Rock Island. They've taken advantage of it. The Silver Streaks defense has held the last couple of possessions, so if they can put a drive together, get back within 7 with 9 minutes to go here in the first half, you start to feel a little better about things.
It's kind of interesting watching Trevon on that punt. It hit on the ground, and a lot of times you just see the guy run away from it, and Trevon started to, and then as it bounced, he kind of edged his way over there, like, well, maybe I should pick it up, but he would have just got buried. There were 6 rocks right around that ball, so probably a good move by Trevon.
Isaacson with the handoff, and Diggins trying to juke across the middle. Bent backwards a little bit as he's brought down for the tackle. He'll work his way to the 13-yard line. Tough little run for Trevon. They'll spot him at the 14 for a gain of 2, 2nd and 8. Talk about our halftime interview tonight, Jim.
Yeah, last week we talked Galesburg girls golf with Marcy Davis, and this time Galesburg boys golf. Both of those teams moving on to the sectional coming up this week, and we'll talk to Dean Betts about his players and some of their philosophies as they get the golf team ready.
What a great regional victory that was for them this week. And off to the right side, and Overstreaks aren't able to get anything out of this. A fumble created. The ball goes backwards, and Rock Island has recovered back at the 11-yard line.
Well, that's a disaster. Having them have the ball at midfield was tough enough, but to turn it over at the 11. Rocks licking their chops now, trying to get that 3-touchdown lead, which is what we faced last week. Alleman went up 3 scores on us before halftime, and we never could recover. Let's hope that Rocky doesn't do the same thing here.
It was the Peyton Isaacson fumble at the 17-yard line that allowed Alleman to get one of its easiest scores of the night. Handoff goes to the right side. The Rocks are now inside the Galesburg 10, down to the 7-yard line. As Brandon Richardson gets the carry, he'll pick up 4 on first down. Rocks can get a first down at the 1. As we approach the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, obviously they're thinking far more than that here.
You know, Rocks averaging 7 yards carry throughout the course of the season. Pretty tidy average.
Now in the shotgun, Chapman with the snap. Quick handoff goes up the middle to Brandon Richardson again. He dives for the goal line. He's in for the touchdown, and the Rocks have that 3-touchdown lead now. Well, how quickly things turn around.
Yeah, they were just able to spread us out on both of those runs so much. They able to just kick the line open and push us back, and a lot of room to run that time, and an easy touchdown for the Rocks as you hear the cannon go off for the 3rd time tonight. And Rock Island trying to build a 21-0 lead with the extra point pending.
7:48 to go here in this first half. The snap is down, the hold is good, the kick is good. 21-0 Rock Island, 7:48 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is your substitute pilot speaking. Due to the $5.99 great haircut sale at Great Clips, I'm subbing in for the entire crew. Don't be alarmed, this baby's got autopilot. I'm actually in the bathroom right now. Enjoy your flight.
A price so low, everyone will go. The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale is back at Great Clips. Get a great haircut for only $5.99 for a limited time. Download our free check-in app. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale goes through Monday at Great Clips, out by Super Walmart in Galesburg.
Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Score update. First quarter, Element leads Moline 14-0. At last check, Quincy had a big 21-0 lead on United Township. So all of the games in the Western Big Six, not close in the first half so far, with the Rock Island Rocks now leading here 21-0 as well. A two-play scoring drive. Of course, they only had to go 11 yards. Their previous scoring drives took 3 plays, 51 yards, less than a minute, and 5 plays, and 54 yards in only a minute and 20. In fact, they had the ball just over 2 minutes in their first two possessions, and they had two touchdowns. 7:48 to go here in the second quarter. Another short kick taken by Diggins at the 19-yard line, trying to run left and then dragged down at the high tackle at the shoulders at the 29-yard line, and that's where the Streaks will begin this drive. Oddly enough, it's their best field position of the night at the 29.
Well, from what we've seen so far, I'd like to be up here next week for that Alleman Rock Island game. That'll be quite a battle. But I want to be back home when the Streaks beat Quincy to qualify for the playoffs.
There you
too,
go. So. And trying to keep updated on that Peoria Central Richwoods game where, Jim, it was 14-7, you said earlier?
Yeah. Yep.
Central on top?
Yep.
Cardinals winning tonight, 6-3. Late flag comes in as Diggins tries to work his way to the right side, and now whistles.
Got to think face mask, maybe.
I would sure think so. And that's what it is. So Trevon is able to gain a couple of yards, and they're going to tack on five more here, I believe, the incidental contact.
Yeah, and as we were talking with assistant coach Kelly Kane on the pregame, you know, he noted that this Rock Island, not only quick in the skill positions, but he said they're just very quick on the line of scrimmage, too. They get off the ball so well on both sides. And this team is not nearly as big as some of the Rock Island. They used to run out, you know, a couple of 300-pounders every year. They don't have that, but they're just quick and strong.
Back to pass. Isaacson looking. Finds a man open in the flat. Holloway with a catch. Trying to get up the far side of the field. He's into Rock Island territory before finally run down just short of the Rock's 40-yard line. And the best field position of the night for the Streaks as they cross the 50 for the first time. But we do have a flag down back at the 44-yard line.
Oh, don't be against us. That's the best plays we've run all night. I'm afraid it's going to be a hold.
I think so. The referee runs all the way over to where the play ended. He's pointing back Galesburg's direction. Rock Island is walking back Galesburg's direction. And I never saw his hand move.
Okay, it is an eligible receiver. And so instead of being down at the Rock Island, what, 35 or 40, we're back on our own 32.
Boy, I never saw his hand go. It just blended in perfectly with the sideline over there. But nevertheless, it did come back. Now the Silver Streaks with a first and 8 back at the 32. Best run play of the night. Quick pass this time. Laterally to Trevon Diggins, and he catches it, but I'm not sure he even got to the 35-yard line on that. Rock Island defended it extremely well. And it'll be second down and 5 coming here. They will give him a gain of 3.
Now, I was talking about Rock Island and not having quite the beef up front that they have had. Not that they're small. They've just got a number of guys. You look on that line of scrimmage, the 240 to 255, 265 range. I do stand corrected. They have one whopper, though. Juan Mojica, number 79, is a 360-pounder, but he is not on the field.
Trying to get to the left side. Ben Holloway with a carry. Might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. He worked awfully hard just to get that out of it. And lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage. And just like that, the Streaks are facing a third and long 5. Sally Townsville of Galesburg is our contestant in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest here in the second quarter. We just passed the 6-minute mark of quarter number 2, but the Streaks trailing 21-0. So good luck to Sally Townsville of Galesburg if the Streaks can score a touchdown here in the remaining 5-plus minutes of the second quarter. She'll win a $10 gift certificate at Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Third and a long 6 to the near side. Diggins trying to get to the corner. Still trying to get to the corner. Comes to a stop, and then that enables Rock Island to make the tackle. Trevon Aldridge on the ground after Trevon Diggins made him miss, lose his balance, and he went down. But when Trevon stopped and tried to make the cutback, all Aldridge had to do was just reach up and grab his legs and pull him down.
That's interesting. That's the only other Trevon I know we've played against all year, and he makes the tackle on our Trevon that time.
They've got a couple of them, actually. They've got Trevon Nimmers-Ryan. They also have Tremon Nimmers and Trevon Aldridge. And punting,
oh, boy.
Sykes gets blocked. picked up by Rock Island at the 19-yard line of the Silver Streaks.
Trevon
and
again.
It's Aldridge again.
Yeah.
Didn't make the block, but he made the recovery. There were three red jerseys. Drake Sykes never had a chance. And another short field for the Rocks at the Galesburg 19-yard line.
Yeah, when they came blowing through there, I thought, this is trouble. But every once in a while, you'll see somehow a kicker miraculously snakes that thing through all those guys. Well, didn't happen there as Sykes could not get that one off. And that Rock Island threatening to score again. Plenty of time. And I guess with this Rock Island team, there's always plenty of time, even though they only have 30 seconds, because they can score so quickly.
So from the Galesburg 19-yard line, a fumble recovered by the Rocks, and now a blocked punt. Chapman back to pass. He pump fakes, then finds a man across the middle with a completion to Quinton Holmes, and he's down to the 11-yard line.
Excellent job by Chapman. Looked off of his initial target on the right side, didn't want it, then drilled it over the middle. Now, the one thing you've got to consider, though, for Chapman we probably wouldn't have for Peyton is that amount of time. He had a lot of time to decide what he wanted to do there. Many high school quarterbacks get run over by the time they look one way and then go the other.
Second and two from Galesburg 11. Man in motion, Markell Richardson takes the toss, trying to get to the outside, now cuts up field inside the 10, down to the 7-yard line, maybe the 6. That's enough for the first down. It'll be first and goal for the Rocks on just two plays with 4:10 and counting here in the second quarter.
You know, one thing I've noticed, Rock Island does not waste its speed, because when they go wide like that, sometimes you'll see guys when they cut back in will try and feel their way through the field and go about half speed. When they make a decision to cut, they turn it on as fast as they can and just hit the line or whoever the tackler would be. I think it picks them up a few more yards.
And they can do that on this field turf very effectively.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Hand off to the right side, working across the middle. Brandon Richardson with the carry inside the 5, close to the 3-yard line.
Yeah, even if you're playing at Van Dyke Field tonight, you're right, that wouldn't be able to happen. After we got 3/4 of an inch of rain last night, that field would still be soft, and that cut wouldn't have worked. So it's good to remember they play on this field turf, and it's always a good, consistent footing.
Second and goal, just outside the Galesburg 3-yard line, just inside the far hash mark, under 3.5 minutes to play in the first half. Rock Island trying to build on a 21-0 lead here. Chapman with a toss to the outside, cutting up the middle. Richardson trying to bounce inside. And the officials say he's down inside the 1. Looked from up here like he might have sprawled across, but the officials right there saying the knee came down just outside the goal line. So it'll be 3rd and goal at the half-yard line.
Yeah, it may just be a quarterback keeper this time when you're that close. I was like you. I thought he got across that thing, but credit to the Streaks defense. They're not giving up easy.
So inside the Galesburg 1 on 3rd and goal. The offensive line packs it in tight. Chapman with a quick snap right up the middle for the quarterback sneak, as Jim called. And it's 27-0 now, Rock Island. Just a 5-play scoring drive that started at the Galesburg 19-yard line. And credit to the Silver Streaks defense that they actually made Rock Island take almost 2.5 minutes off the clock to get it.
Yeah, this is what we feared coming up here, and there was no question they were going to score. I've just been surprised that we have not been able to move the ball any better. Extra point kick,
not real strong,
but gets through.
But he got it, 28-0, Rocks. 2:35 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall.
When it happens in the world of sports, we are there. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on WGIL.
You want to thank Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Rock Island tonight. And heated seats among many of the features that Jim and I both enjoyed on the way up tonight.
Yes, a 2012 Nissan Altima. And I thought this was a Maxima when I got in it. This thing is just loaded. Great sound system, seats, good strong engine, beautiful look on the outside, and it is a really nice vehicle. I think this may be one that we just don't take back.
Okay. Much deeper kick this time from Rock Island. Pushes Holloway back to the 7-yard line, running upfield, and gets mauled. And the helmet comes flying off, and a late flag comes in. We're going to have a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Rock Island tacked on here at the end. Holloway got stopped at about the 24-yard line.
Yeah, because the flag came in way after the stop was made, and I don't know, like maybe one of the Rock Island players a little shaken up there. He was,
looks like it,
what they used to call on Rubber Leg Street there for a little while.
Personal foul, face mask. So that explains why Holloway's helmet came flying off like it did at the end of the play. So Rock Island's fourth penalty of the night. They've had two 10-yarders and now a 15-yarder for 40 penalty yards. And the Streaks end up with the ball up at their own 39-yard line now with 2:29 to go.
Helmet went back 5 or 6 yards. Not quite the distance that Kyle Turley threw for the New Orleans Saints in that Monday night game. Did you see that year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Turner threw that thing about 50 yards.
As soon as you said Kyle Turley, I just pictured it right away. Here's Diggins with a nice run. Getting to the near side, outside, up the sideline. And run out of bounds at the Rock Island 41-yard line. Heck of a run by Trevon. That personal foul penalty might have gotten the Streaks offense fired up a little bit. Give him a credit. A 20-yard run for Diggins. Again on a night when Jonathan Mixon is not only not 100%, but not even 50% and 0% when he's on the sideline right now.
Is he just in for the one series? Kitch is in there
couple,
now.
A couple of series, yeah. Handoff goes up the middle, and Kitch with the carry. Nice hole across the middle for Matt to get it up to the 35-yard line of Rock Island. Kitch's second carry of the night goes for a gain of 6.
Gelsberg just trying to get something they can take in the locker room to build a little confidence with as they go towards the scoreboard right at the 2-minute mark.
Quincy got a field goal right before halftime. They lead United Township 30-6 at the break.
And that's up here at the Soul Bowl.
Second and 3 for the Silver Streaks, trying to run left, and that one's defended much better by the Rocks. No gain. As Holloway had nowhere to run with it, and it'll be 3rd and 4.
So, yeah, Quincy frustrated by losing close home games to both Rock Island and Moline and having to finish the conference season on the road at UT and then up at our place next week.
Under a minute and a half to go here in the second quarter. Streak trying to get on the board right before halftime. Down 28-0 on 3rd and 4. Isaacson sends the man in motion, rolling to the near side. Good offensive line pressure. The pass complete to Holloway, then dives forward inside the 30-yard line, and that'll be enough for a first down for the Silver Streaks at the 29.
Yeah, nice job by Holloway. I don't think he had the first down when he first caught it, but able to take a step inside and fall forward for a few yards and make the needed yardage. So at least that'll keep it out of Rock Island's hands again before we get to the half. The clock almost at the 1-minute mark and counting.
Streaks do have all of their timeouts if they can move it a little bit closer and need to stretch the first half out.
Yep.
Isaacson rolling left, has nowhere to go, and he is sacked by a big loss by Daquan Jones. And now the Streaks do burn a timeout as Isaacson is sacked back at the 37 for a loss of 8. Well, Isaacson rolled out on the naked bootleg, and he was hung out to dry. 52 seconds to go here in this first half.
Tanner Laird was over here kicking into the net, thinking, well, maybe we'll get a field goal chance before the end of the half, but that last play took us out of any consideration, at least for the time being. And on a cold night, your range is limited quite a bit. That ball's just not going to carry in this cold air.
Wouldn't mind seeing him go to that pass play that went to Holloway so successfully in the first half had it not been called back by an ineligible receiver downfield. Streaks were able to take that one down inside the Rock Island 40. That would be the kind of yardage that would allow them to get back within field goal range, but certainly needing a lot more than that, down 28-0 with under a minute to go in the second quarter. First timeout burned by the Silver Streaks here in this first half. So two to go. Again, if they need to stretch out this first half a little bit more. Second and 18 from the 37-yard line. Isaacson with a fake. Gets the pass away as he's dragged down from behind, intended for Trevon Diggins. Underthrown just a little bit as he was being pulled down, getting the pass away. It's incomplete and brings up third down.
Yeah, defensive lineman Dale Arrington, who gave him problems on the last play, was there again. Arrington with some good speed off of that end spot. 6 foot, 175-pounder, so not that big, but very quick and got to the quarterback when he was vulnerable. Isaacson trots over to the sideline, quickly gets back to the huddle. 47 seconds left in the streaks, needing some magic here to get on the board before the half.
Holloman still with a 14-0 lead over Moline in the second quarter. Isaacson with a pitch to Holloway. Finds a little bit of a hole, squeaks inside it, gets down inside the 30-yard line, and that gets the Silver Streaks back to about the original line of scrimmage before they went backwards, and the clock rolling with now under 30 seconds to play in this first half. Ball spotted at the 28-yard line, brings up fourth down.
Well, and I don't want to think for Coach Tim Doherty, but I wonder if we may not have seen the last of Jonathan Mixon, because you don't want to aggravate that injury anymore tonight when you're going to need him so much in what will be a game we might be able to win next week, because this one starting to look a little more like a lost cause.
Isaacson with a big pass and the catch made inside the Rock Island 15-yard line. A beautifully thrown and perfectly thrown ball to Ben Holloway right at the numbers. And the Silver Streaks, with 7 seconds to go, may have a chance to get into the end zone after all here at the 13. A pickup of 16.
Streaks up to the line quickly.
Third completion of the night for Peyton Isaacson, and Tanner Laird is in for the field goal attempt. This will be a 30-yarder. And this he can make even on a cold night. He's definitely got the leg for it, and now Rock Island calls timeout with 7 seconds to go. Well, want to preserve the shutout, I guess. Again, a reminder coming up at halftime, Jim Lee's interview with Galesburg boys golf coach Dean Betts. Great week for the Silver Streaks, advancing on to the sectionals. Good, talented squad.
Well, I know.
Good balance on that team.
There really is. And, of course, led by Jackson Weatherby, who torched the rest of the field to win the championship honors at the regional in Quincy at the Westview course. And I'm told that they have not played this course in Champaign. I believe Dean called it the Orange course.
Right.
And so they were going to go down on Sunday and try and get familiar with it. But he said all I hope for is that it's not windy. They just all hate it when that wind blows. It just skewers the whole game so much. And they ran into that last year. I'd forgotten. And he said it was really disappointing because they had played pretty well.
Yeah.
And the teams that played before them that put up the big scores in the morning, there wasn't any wind. And then he said that wind kicked in the afternoon, and it was just impossible.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the kids on the golf team earlier. They said there's some sort of outing arranged, so they're not even going to get to practice very much in that course on Sunday. All right, coming out of the timeout, Laird's kick has plenty of distance. It does get inside the left upright, and the Streaks get on the board with 1 second remaining in the second quarter. 30-yard field goal for Tanner Laird just at the end of the first half. And the Silver Streaks will get to go through one more kickoff here right before halftime.
Well, and how valuable between Tanner Laird and Drake Sykes,
yeah,
coming over from the soccer team, they've just provided so much for us in the kicking game this year. And, of course, then you look at the soccer scores, and who's their leading scorer? Drake Sykes had, what, 4 goals in a game
yeah.
there this week against Monmouth Roseville, and I think he and Laird both scored in the Rock Island, tough Rock Island overtime loss they had this week. And hopefully next week at halftime we'll see if we can't track down Philip Reddington, the head coach of the soccer team, to talk to us. That'll be just ahead of their regionals, which are week after next, and we'll talk a little soccer with Coach Reddington.
Before you know it, it'll be basketball season.
Yeah. Well, I think we can maybe work Marla Clay in then for the final week. Haven't talked to Marla yet about volleyball.
That'd be nice. But Silver Streaks, certainly, with two full games and a half a game here still left in the regular season, still have their sights set on the playoffs. So we don't want to end the football season here too early. We're down to 1 second to go here in the first half. Streaks haven't been in this game, down 28-3. We'll see what they can put together at halftime and come out with in the second half as the Streaks do the end-over-end kick, scooting it right across the turf, right up the middle. And Markel Richardson returns it to the 25. Really not much of an attempt to run this one back. We go to halftime with the Streaks down 28-3. Again, Streaks boys golf coach Dean Betts at halftime. And when we come back, first half stats and some scoring updates from around the area with the Streaks down 25 at the half. Cardinals won tonight 6-3 over Atlanta. They're heading to the National League Division Series coming up on Sunday here on WGIL against Washington. Take a break here on the Halftime Show. You're listening to Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at DickersonPhotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing.
I am good.
Michelle. XYZ.
X. Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
I discovered Handyman would give my buddy and me a ride out to Lake Story. So we've been loading up our fishing poles and tackle boxes a couple of times a week. It's so great to get out and do something.
Whether you're faced with a temporary or permanent disability, a doctor's appointment isn't the only reason to leave the house. Get out there, live your life. Call Handy Van, we'll pick you up, as well as your personal assistant to help you manage your belongings. And we'll take you back home. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
The official WGIL forecast includes a freeze warning in effect from midnight tonight until 9 tomorrow morning. Cloudy, overnight low of 34. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 52, a low of 33 tomorrow night. Sunday, sunny and a high of 55. Clear skies Sunday night, low again down to 34. Monday, sunny and a high of 63. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 39 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Welcome to Silver Streaks Halftime as we turn our attention from football back to golf. Last week we talked with the girls' golf coach from GHS, Marcy Davis, and this time around we talked with Dean Betts, the head coach for the boys, and I think you and Marcy both have something in common. You've got successful teams and ones that I think have maybe surprised you guys a little bit in their success.
Yeah, you know, this year we didn't know what we were going to get. You know, we knew we had two or three very solid kids, and we had to find some others that were going to help along the way. And, you know, we had some kids step up and do some great things this year.
Congratulations, first of all, on what you did this week. That was go down to Quincy and win the 2A regional. And the kids, did they exceed your expectations there?
Yeah, we thought we could be in the top three. I told them I think we can advance. But we knew it was going to be a dogfight to win it, you know, with playing Quincy on their home course. But we played well, and, you know, we come out on top.
Jackson Weatherby had a 71, far and away the medalist there. He missed a few meets this year with some health issues, but now is he back 100%?
Yeah, you know, that's where we thought Jackson was going to be playing. But, you know, when you miss four matches, 2 weeks worth, you know, when he had the assist on his back, that took it out of him. But, you know, if he's going to play well, this one we want him to do that.
And in his absence, some guys stepped forward. I know Hunter Nesselrode was one that really, I thought, led the team in his absence.
Yeah, Hunter played really, really well for us all year. You know, I mean, and that's what we needed, somebody to pick Jackson up during that time. And the other guys stepped up to the plate. You know, when somebody didn't play very well, somebody else played well. You know, and that's what golf's about. That's why you take six and count four.
As we talked last week, Marcy Davis hasn't had that luxury. She's had to go with four. That really puts the pressure on him. But you've had, even when Jackson was out, did you rotate somebody up into that sixth spot then?
Yeah, we gave a nod to a couple of the freshman kids, you know, a freshman and a sophomore kid that haven't had any varsity experience. So I think that was good for him to get there. Because without Jackson, I mean, we went down to Metamora Fields and we won that, you know, that invite. And I think that gave a lot of the kids a lot of confidence without him, and we still come home with a trophy, so...
We've talked about Jackson and Hunter. You might mention a few of the others that have been scoring pretty regular for you, Coach.
Yeah, you know, we've got who we've had all year has been Alex Anderson. Alex really held us up through the first part of the year. I mean, he was the one that we counted on for that third and fourth score. Then you have Riley Van Velser. He's off of the team from a couple years ago, too. And then Tommy Hosting and Colton Myler.
How do you, as you're always looking at what you've got in front of you this year, but you've always got an eye as a coach down the road, and it seems like Galesburg able to continually generate good golfers. Is that something you do from the time they're in eighth grade, or are these a lot of kids that have to have started golfing a lot before that?
I think most of them start early, you know, really early. You know, you got a couple country clubs here and bunker, and you know, some of the kids get out with dad and their grandpa and start playing and get the bug, and you know, it's dropped off, though. You know, as far as participation, it's dropped off a lot, and that kind of hurts, but we got some quality kids coming up that are young.
I know we've heard several of the course pros mentioning that the total rounds of golf have gone down, whether it's due to the economy or what have you. So you do have a little fewer to pick from, don't you?
Oh yeah, well, this year in the Junior All City, it's normally 130 person field. They had 21 kids this year, you know, so I mean that dropped off tremendously, you know, and it filters down to us, but you know, we only need four good ones, so hopefully that's what we get.
Yeah. Do you find the same programs like Galesburg year in and year out the ones to beat in the area and around the state?
I think so, you know, because I think the younger kids will play with those kids when they're out, you know, on the course. They'll see those kids playing, and then they'll play with them and go, you know, I want to be like that, you know. So I think that's what really helps. And you know, once you get a strong program, usually it holds on for a while.
What's the biggest area improvement that most of the kids at the high school age struggle with? Do a lot of them, you know, like to get the big driver and, you know, and outdo the next guy, and you have to kind of tone them down or bring them in? Or have they, by the time they've gotten that age, learned to try and play within themselves?
You know, usually by the time they're a sophomore, that's kind of out of there, you know, because there's only so many big hitters, you know, and they know where they're at. And then I think they concentrate on other things. Of course, when they're littler, man, everybody wants to hit the heck out of the ball. You know, that's just that's natural. But I think then they take their game a little bit further, and they work on their chipping and putting or something that's going to, you know, help them gain in their play.
If there is a typical practice, what do you put your team through during that time?
Mainly what we do, we get out, we hit balls to begin with. We have two or three of the huge buckets out there. You know, bunker does really well for us that way. The kids hit balls, you know, they'll start with their wedge, they'll go to their 7, 5 iron, whatever, and then they'll hit some drivers. We go over and do a chipping and putting drill, you know, nightly. And then we normally play 9 holes.
So then when you get to tournament day or match day, do you do the same pattern or you just tee it up and go?
Pretty much we go hit balls beforehand just to warm up, and then just tee it up, and we're off and running.
So you've got the regional title under your belt. You're going on to sectional. Tell us what you expect there.
You know, sectionals is a totally different animal, though. You know, I mean, you've got the top three teams from every regional coming in there. You know, so you just got to tee it up, and hopefully that all your kids are relaxed and they play well.
Where is the sectional this year? Is it a course that you're familiar with?
No, it's down to U of I at the Orange course, and I think only one of our kids has ever been there. We'll go down Sunday, have a practice round, and then tee it up on Monday and go. So,
you guys prefer to play when it's a little warmer? You like the cool weather? Does it matter?
I like the warm weather because I'm not walking with the bag. So I think the kids like it a little warmer, you know, no wind. You know, it can be cool as long as the wind's not howling, and that's normally what happens this time of the year when it starts to get cool.
Well, and you know, I guess when you got a guy at the front of your rotation like Jackson, I mean, a young man that is good as or better than most of the men in this city, that's got to be a good starting point for you anywhere you go.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, I mean, we jump on his back. I mean, he knows that. You know, if he shoots well, we can leave a few shots out there. If he shoots 71, we can have guys that shoot 80 or 83. You know, if he shoots 75 or 77, then we got to get a couple more guys at like 77 to 79.
How long have you been doing this now, Dean?
Oh, my gosh. This is total coaching. I think this is my 26th year.
Yeah. So, obviously, you love what you do, and I suppose every year you probably still learn a little something new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, kids are different every year. You know, I really enjoy being around the kids. I have fun with them, you know, and we try to have fun out there, but when it comes time to tee it up or, you know, on the basketball court, when it comes time for tip-off, you know, hopefully we're ready.
Well, you've obviously got a nice track record of success, Dean. Best wishes to you and the guys as you head over to Champaign next week.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just want to say one quick thing. Barry Cheeseman was in town, and he came down. I think he helped us a ton. He played with the kids at the site on Sunday. He played the practice round with them. And I think that really, really got their confidence up, just because, they got to play with a tour pro and they played right along with him. And I think that got their confidence way up there. So I want to thank Barry for that.
Yeah. Well, and they know what's possible. Here's a guy from Galesburg that's doing it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Dean, best wishes.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Dean Betts, the GHS boys golf coach, as they get set for the sectional next week here on the WGIL Silver Streaks Halftime Report. We'll be back with more. We'll talk with Coach Tim Doherty and get the second half kicked off in just a few minutes on Galesburg Radio 14.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
For the last year, the Main Street overpass has been under construction. City Engineer Wayne Carl announced yesterday on the WGIL Morning News that the ribbon-cutting ceremony date has been set for October 26th. Carl says that date allows for any unexpected weather events. Fencing is supposed to be constructed in the next week or two. The third annual Carl Sandburg Legislative Luncheon took place this afternoon, and College President Lori Sundberg says the purpose behind the luncheon is simple: maintaining a strong relationship with local and state legislative leaders. Sundberg says the meeting is informational and gives the college an opportunity to update legislators on the college's yearly progress. And she says, in turn, legislators share with the college how their respective districts have done over the year. Sundberg says the college is doing very well. They are only one of two community colleges in Illinois who've seen an enrollment increase. I'm Alexis Corey. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. FBI officials now believe the shooting of two U.S. border agents on Tuesday along the Arizona-Mexico border was probably the result of friendly fire.
That sensor went off. They do believe drug or human smugglers set off the sensors in this remote area, and the agents responded from different directions, and they accidentally shot each other. The question is whether or not this shootout began because of some shots fired by the smugglers.
Fox's Adam Housley reporting. The shooting left one agent dead, another wounded in the National League Baseball playoffs.
And the 1-2, and Ugla, bouncing ball, Descalso. The play to first in time, and the St. Louis Cardinals advance.
St. Louis beating Atlanta 6-3 in the first wildcard playoff game, eliminating the Braves on TBS. In the American League wildcard game, Baltimore and Texas tied 1-1 in the third inning. Fox News, we report, you decide.
A pumpkin farther than you can. Can you not? Can too.
Oh yeah? Well, I can make a pumpkin fly way into the field.
Can you not?
Can too.
I know how we can solve this. How? Pick a cannon. I'm going to aim it this way.
I'm going to tilt mine up a little bit.
What do you think the wind speed is?
1, 2.
Wow! I don't even see a pumpkin anymore.
Hello, folks. Bruce Laren here, inviting you out to the Pumpkin Cannon Weekend. We're going to shoot pumpkins and hopefully make a new world record. You can shoot the cannon yourself. On Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock, we'll be shooting for a new world record. You won't want to miss the Nashville singer-songwriter David G. Smith from 2 to 5 on Saturday. Stick around for a hay rack ride. Grab a bite to eat. The Fall Fun Park will be open, as well as the U-Pick Pumpkin Patch. Country Corner Farm Fresh Fun, just north of Alpha on Route 150. Visit country-corner.com for details.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Back at Rock Island, where the Silver Streaks trail at halftime, 28-3. And as you might imagine, the statistics are strongly in favor of the Rock Island Rocks. Only 127 yards on the ground and only 75 yards through the air on 5-for-8 passing. They have two touchdowns passing, two touchdowns rushing. But the reason they're ahead 28-5 and only just over 200 yards of total offense is because they've had such a short field to work with on practically every possession. Three of their first four possessions started at their own 46-yard line. One drive started at their own 49. They've had two scoring drives that started deep inside Galesburg territory, one after a blocked punt and one after a fumble. For the Rocks, Brandon Richardson leads the way with 9 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Markell Richardson, 4 carries, 37 yards. Daquan Jones has a 13-yard run. And the quarterback, Zach Chapman, has 2 carries for 4 yards. And one of those is a 1-yard quarterback sneak for a touchdown. Chapman also 5 for 8 passing for 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. His leading receiver tonight is Quinton Holmes, 4 catches for 39 yards, including a 6-yard touchdown. Derek Willies has 2 catches, including a 21-yard touchdown. Again on a night when the streaks without Jonathan Mixon.
Check.
John has 5 carries for only 9 yards, and he does have a fumble. And playing on an ankle that is, we talked earlier, the coaching staff for the Silver Streaks not really saying exactly how bad it might be, but very clearly indicating by their non-response that it is, you know, if 50%, if anything. We're going to go to the field. Jim Lee is with assistant coach Dave Barshinger.
Okay, well, Coach, halftime, we feared Rock Island's offense was going to be a really tough to handle, and their speed on the edge and passing game has proven to be that, hasn't it?
They're playing well, and we didn't come out of the gate very fast on defense, and I was afraid of their explosive players, and right now they look like they're just playing a game of pickup, and we're watching it.
Of course, as one of the officials, I believe, needs to have a word with you here. We'll let that take place as he talks with Coach Tim Doherty here for just a second. And down here on the field, looks like we've got about 2 before we kick off the second half. Both teams are back out on the field after a fairly lengthy halftime performance by the marching band. And they are off in the streaks, hoping to get more than just that 3 points on the board. As Brad, we'll throw it back up to you for just a second here until Coach Doherty gets away from the official.
All right, Jim, thanks very much. Running through the rest of the statistics very quickly. Matt Kitch has a couple of carries tonight, his first 2 of the season, with Mixon being injured for 7 yards. Ben Holloway has 5 carries for 14 yards. Trevon Diggins, the leading runner tonight, 6 carries for 31 yards. And Peyton Isaacson was sacked 1 time, so he has negative yardage out of the backfield. Isaacson, 3 for 5 passing for 24 yards, 21 of those to Holloway, the other 3 to Trevon Dixon on a swing pass to the outside. Galesburg will have the ball to begin the second half. As they kicked off to Rock Island to start the game, Rock Island scored on its opening possession, as we mentioned earlier, that started at the 49-yard line. And they took just a couple of plays and only 47 seconds to find the end zone, getting downfield very quickly. 3 plays, they covered 51 yards and finished it off with the Chapman pass to Hillies from 21 yards. Silver Streaks went 3 plays and out on their first possession, punted it away. Rock Island came right back at their own 46-yard line, moved 5 plays downfield, covered those 54 yards in only a minute 20, and the extra point made it 14-0 after the 6-yard touchdown pass to Holmes. And the official took up most of the time with Tim Doherty, so Jim's going to head back off the field here as we don't get a chance to get any further comments and quite a discussion down there. So when Jim gets back up here, we'll try to get an idea of what all was going on there, because the referee called over O'Brien Allen, and he was involved in the discussion there with Tim Doherty. And so Jim will hopefully be able to fill us in a little bit on that. Silver Streaks did get their only 3 points of the first half on a Tanner Laird 30-yard field goal. And it came with just 1 second remaining, and the Streaks kicked off from there. And Rock Island had a rather modest run back to finish the first half. 28-3 is where we stand at halftime. No winners in the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest. Obviously, it's a touchdown contest, so even though the streak scored right before the end of the first half, field goals don't count. It's got to be a touchdown. So Mike Thurman of Galesburg, you're our third quarter contestant, and you and a lot of other people hoping that the Silver Streaks can find the end zone here and try to crawl their way back into this game. Again, if the Streaks can win, they become playoff eligible, but they have their work cut out for them, not only defensively but offensively, as they are unable to move the ball very much in that first half and certainly didn't show much ability to stop Rock Island offensively. Jim joins us back up here now off the field. Were you able to pick up on what that discussion was all about when they called a Brian Allen over?
Well, yeah, it was a lot of what they were talking with Coach Doherty about was a play where the helmet came off, and they said, they definitely ripped his helmet off and threw it back, and they were explaining a little bit more about what happened. I didn't catch it all with Tim there, but he was laughing by the time it was over. So,
oh well, that's good,
and that's pretty tough to get him to laugh when you're down 28-3 at halftime.
Kickoff. Taken by Ben Holloway, finds an opening across the 30-yard line. He's got a blocker in front of him across midfield, spins off a man inside the Rock Island 45, and taken down there, and that'll get some juice into this Galesburg offense. And Tim Doherty, one of the first ones out there to get a big hug on Tyson Parks there, who helped lead a big block for Holloway upfield and helped spring him free a little bit. Streaks are in business starting off this second half at the Rock Island 42.
I think the coaches really tried to breathe life into this this team at halftime and get them to play with pride out there, finish well. I know Mark Reed was barking at them going around saying, it's not over, it's not over. And so they're at least for a while going to play on some momentum here.
Diggins gets a handoff to the right side. He'll be stopped just short of the 40-yard line. Very modest gain. On first down, it'll bring up second and 9 for the Silver Streaks. Again, Diggins, the leading rusher in the first half with 32 yards. So second week in a row, the Streaks have really struggled to find any kind of offense against the two first-place teams in the Western Big Six. Second and 9 out of the offset eye. Isaac then hands off to the second man through. It's Holloway, and he struggles to get to the 40-yard line. Another very short gain. It'll quickly bring up third down for the Silver Streaks, third and 8 from the 40.
Well, and I was going to, my second question I was going to ask about how difficult it was to try and get things done without Jonathan Mixon being able to do much. And I probably could have answered the question I asked. He would have said, well, we're going to do with what we have out here, and we can't worry about what we can't control.
Right.
And
but you can't help but think that.
Oh, I mean,
deflated the team a little bit. And there's Kitch with a nice little run across right side. And on third and 8, he works his way up to the first down at the 31-yard line.
Good, strong run by
Kitch. Sure was.
But, yeah, when you talk about Jonathan Mixon in this season, I mean, I have to do the math, but he's probably accounted for 70% of our yards from scrimmage, pretty close to it.
And over 80% of the scoring. So Kitch with a gain of 9. Handoff to the right side. Diggins with a little lead block. Just trying to feel his way a little bit across a little opening outside right tackle. He works his way up to the Rock Island 28-yard line. Actually down to the 27. So he picks up 4, and it'll bring up 2nd and 6. What a big third down conversion that was for the Silver Streaks on the Kitch run. Their first third down conversion of the night.
The deep drive there and put up a field goal, and now we're moving it again.
Second and 6, handoff to the second man through. Isaacson just got the handoff away to Holloway. To Kitch. He had no idea that the Rock Island defense was blasting up the middle.
Well,
and Kitch is actually going to go for a loss of 2, but that could have been a
worse.
Lot worse.
Yeah, James Morrow really hit him hard in the backfield, but just bounced right off of him. Kitch with a good, tough run. What'd you say, he lost 2? He could have lost 7 or 8 on
yeah.
that.
Or the ball.
All right, third down for the Silver Streaks, 3rd and 8 inside the 28. Back to pass, Isaacson under pressure, ducks inside a man. Now he tucks it in, dives his way forward inside the 27, close to the 26-yard line. So Isaacson, the pocket collapsing quickly with no protection, and he ends up picking up 3 out of the play. And it'll be 4th and 5, just like that.
Well, you're certainly not going to punt it away here, and you're still a little far away for a field goal. Plus, a field goal doesn't really give you much of a chance to win when you're down 28-3. So you go for it here on 4th and 5.
It would be a 43-yard field goal attempt, which is awfully tough to do on a cold night like this. Here's Diggins, gets the first down into the secondary, still on his feet inside the 15-yard line, down to the 13, and what a run by Trevon Diggins getting to the outside.
Yep, Dickens able to get through there, and then he turns his body. Sometimes that works, sometimes not, but in that case it did. It kind of allowed him to slice through some tacklers and pick up the yardage he needed, so the streak's not quite to first and goal yet, but knocking on the door at the 14 of Rock Island.
Second fourth down conversion of the night for the Silver Streaks. Under 8.5 minutes to go, third quarter. At the 14, Diggins running laterally, trying to get to the outside. Cuts up field across a little hole. Fights his way forward to the 11-yard line. Another hard run, and Rock Island saying they've got the ball. They're saying the ball came out at the end of the play, but the officials blowing the whistles. Diggins apparently was down, at least in their eyes. And the Streaks drive moves its way down to the Rock Island 11. Second and... call it second and 8. From the Rock Island 11-yard line.
Don't need any officials' controversies like the Cardinals had in their baseball game today.
Goodness.
I think the fans would be too cold here to throw stuff on the field, though.
Well, and a really sparse crowd for a Rock Island home
sure
crowd
is.
Tonight. Diggins getting to the outside. Spurts for inside the 5. Streaks for the first and goal inside the 2. What a run by Trevon Diggins to keep this drive moving. He's had some big ones here. Kitch had a huge third down run that really got things started. And the Streaks, for the first time tonight, with first and goal.
And Rock Island goes with a little more of a goal line type defense. They run in a little more beef on the interior of the line. Some bigger kids there to see if they can't shut down Galesburg if the Streaks try and go inside for the touchdown.
First and goal from the 2. Handoff. Diggins again working his way right. He just ran right. He's got the touchdown. Crossed the goal line. Hit pushed backwards, but the ball breaks the plane. And the Streaks have their first touchdown of the night. Mike Thurman of Galesburg, congratulations. You're a winner in the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest.
Yeah, Diggins was running parallel to the line there, I think, for a while. And finally able to squirt across there. Get the Streaks' first touchdown of the night. And so the last possession of the first half we scored, first possession of the second half we scored. Now we're moving the ball, but can we stop the Rocks? We'll find out that in just a minute.
Diggins, 31 yards rushing in the first half. He picked up 31 yards rushing on that drive. The extra point is good, and the Streaks now trail 28-10. 7:06 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
This is your substitute pilot speaking. Due to the $5.99 great haircut sale at Great Clips, I'm subbing in for the entire crew. Don't be alarmed. This baby's got autopilot. I'm actually in the bathroom right now. Enjoy your flight.
A price so low, everyone will go. The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale is back at Great Clips. Get a great haircut for only $5.99 for a limited time. Download our free check-in app. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale goes through Monday at Great Clips, out by Super Walmart in Galesburg.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
Field position has been a huge part of the story here tonight. Nearly every Rock Island drive started near midfield, and two of them started deep inside Galesburg territory, accounting for 4 touchdowns in the first half. Now the Silver Streaks with a big kickoff return from Ben Holloway that starts their drive from the Rock Island 42, and they end up turning that one into a touchdown. Now down 28-10, the kickoff taken at the 7-yard line by Richardson, Markel Richardson, and opening up the middle. Escapes past one tackle and finally dragged down by Holloway at the 44-yard line. And good field position again by Rock Island.
And Holloway again with the tackle there for the Silver Streaks. And Rock Island, as they did to us numerous times in the first half, able to, as you said, Brad, get that ball in great field position. And we'll see if maybe we could. How about a takeaway right here?
Sure need it, don't
take
we?
Take away in a score, and all of a sudden things would get real interesting at that point.
Well, Streaks had so many near interceptions in the first half. They need to pull one off here now. But the ball on the ground instead. Brandon Richardson getting to the outside, and Holloway gets down low and upends Richardson. He gets the ball right to midfield at the 50 for a gain of 4. Quincy on top of United Township now 37-6. And looks like Monmouth-Roseville still leading Rockridge 19-13. Holloman over Moline, 14-0. That score has not changed since the first quarter. Second and eight, they're going to spot the ball at the 42. After a gain of four, second and six. Handoff, the quarterback on the keeper. Chapman trying to get to the outside, breaks across the 50, up to the Galesburg 46-yard line. That'll be enough to... Should be enough to move the chains. And there they go.
And sometimes on those plays, you'll wonder if it was a broken play, but that was clearly designed quarterback keeper along the left side. He had picking up yardage on his mind. He lowered his head from the get-go. And the Rocks able to get enough, as you said, to move those chains into Silver Streaks territory.
Up to the Galesburg 46-yard line with a new set of downs. Straight up the middle. And a little bit of a gain.
Yeah, Brian Allen had him at about the line of scrimmage, but he sent him staggering, but he was staggering forward and picked up a few.
Down to the 45.
Actually, I think they just gave him a yard.
Yep, just
they?
A yard.
Huh.
Tail of the football. Just past the 45-yard line. So second and nine after the gain of one by Richardson. Chapman. A little bit longer under center that time. Handoff goes to the left side, trying to get to the outside. There's Daquan Jones again. Runs over a man at about the 40. It'll bring up third down. The Streaks defense needs a big stop here with 5:21 to go in the third quarter. Get that ball back after getting some momentum on the opening drive touchdown here in the third quarter. It'll be third and four.
Rock Island moving the ball some, but the yardage not coming nearly as easy as it did in the first half for them, especially those first couple of possessions. But they've always got that weapon of throwing the ball, and that was a real killer for us a couple of times early in the game.
Rocks 2-for-4 on third down in the first half. Toss goes into the backfield. Richardson trying to get to the outside.
Good job,
he stacked up at the 40-yard line and put backwards.
Ran into Jacob Ryden there and a few others and wasn't going to go anywhere, and the Streaks with a nice stop on defense.
Streaks were able to cut him off from the outside. Forced him to turn inside on a single man. The cornerback coming from the defensive back position forced him to turn into the inside, and that's where he ran into Ryden and some other defenders. Goes for no gain, and Streaks force a punt here. Diggins is hobbling backwards a little bit. I think his leg is cramping up. He's not going to be able to return one. He's trying to walk it off, so there's nobody downfield to return, and Trevon is really aching. The ball is going to go inside the 5-yard line, and the Rocks will down it to the 2, and Trevon can barely walk off field. He's left leg is really tightened up on him.
Yeah, he's had that all season from time to time, and normally you think of that in the hot weather, but it's given him problems here at a bad time because that may have cost us 20, 30 yards of field position, the fact that he couldn't get back there and get that. He had to let it bounce, and then it took a Rock Island roll and goes all the way back toward our goal line.
Well, and it happened so late, the Streaks weren't even in a position where they could call timeout just to give him a chance to walk it off on the sideline. And given the fact that Diggins picked up 31 of the 42 yards on the ground on that scoring drive, they've got to have him here. So Galesburg at its own 2-yard line, and just a very simple dive play up the middle to try to get a little bit of running room up to about the 5, maybe the 6-yard line.
Well, certainly an important part of this game. Silver Streak still with a flicker of hope, 28-10, 4:15 to go in the third quarter. But if we happen to make a turnover deep in our own territory, that's probably all she wrote. So obviously we want to move the ball down the field and score, but next best thing would just be to move it out a little bit and get some breathing room and don't give Rock Island a short field to work with.
Isaacson on the keeper to gain 3, and he's going to keep it again, trying to just find some room up the middle, give the Streaks a few options to run with it on third and short, but I'm not sure Peyton got more than a couple on that one. And it'll bring up third and 5. Where are they going to spot that ball exactly? Kind of hard to tell on the angle that we're looking at it from up here on the visiting press box. We'll call it the 7.
Don't want Isaacson to do his Tony Romo impression here.
Oh,
I don't think he'll get the chance.
5 interceptions the other night. Trying to get to the outside. Streaks get across the 10-yard line. They had to get to the 12 for a first down. Let's see how close they're going to spot this one. Diggins comes up hobbling again, still favoring that right leg. He's going to be less than a yard short of the first down. Down 28-10 with under 3 minutes and counting to go in the third quarter. The Streaks are going to go for it here. Fourth and less than a yard. Now, Isaacson picked up 3 and 2 on the quarterback sneak. Can he get a yard here? Rock Island stacked it up pretty good, but the Galesburg offensive line thrusting some arms in the air. They think Isaacson got enough for it. Coach Tim Doherty, obviously in a have-to-go-for-it position here. And the officials give him the first down. They don't even bring the chains out. They eyeball it, and that is the second fourth down conversion of this quarter for the Silver Streaks, and none bigger than that one at their own 12-yard line.
Well, that was the ball game there if you don't make that.
Yep.
But I like the call. I mean, I think Tim's got a real good feel of what, you know, he's not just going to punt it away. That doesn't do him much of good there. If we're going to come back and win this game, we've got to do some pretty incredible things. And it started right there with getting a first down deep in our own territory.
And just another simple little dive play up the middle as the Streaks take a couple yards here and a couple yards there, trying to work it out of there deep in their own territory up to the 15-yard line now. A gain of a couple more.
This game's so similar to last week's because it looked early on like we were going to end up having a continuous clock. They were scoring so easily on us, but we've settled in and made it a game.
And now this gives the Streaks some options. Downfield, Holloway is open, but looked like he might have turned the wrong way as he worked back toward the far sideline and couldn't catch up to it. Well-thrown ball by Isaacson, but it falls incomplete, and it'll bring up 3rd and 7 now. 3rd and 8, actually, from the 15.
Sophomore game, again, ended in a 8-8 tie. Odd year where the sophomore team has two ties in the conference season already.
Because they don't play overtime at the sophomore level in the Western Big Six. All right, 3rd and a long 7 for the Silver Streaks. Handoff to the right side. Galesburg got some huge 3rd and 4th down running plays on their scoring drive, but this won't be one of them as Diggins gets pushed backwards all the way toward the far sideline, the home sideline. And Diggins, where are they going to spot it? At the 17, so he'll pick up 2. It'll be 4th and 5. And with a minute 20 to go and counting in the third quarter, 4th and 1, 4th and less than a yard is a little different than 4th and 5, but the score isn't any different than the situation that it was earlier. So,
but your odds of making 4th and less than a yard are far greater than 4th and 5, so I guess you do have to kick this away as much as you hate to.
A little bit of a rush on. Sykes gets the punt away, a low kick, and it rolls to the 50-yard line, and the Streaks down it there. Interesting that Derek Willies didn't pick that up and try to return it even an additional 5 yards. It's going to be great field position yet again for Rock Island as they'll start the ball at midfield. So the defense needs to rise to the occasion again with 49 seconds to go in the third quarter. Rock Island leading 28-10.
See Steve Cheeseman down a little below us with his Chicago White Sox parka on. That had to be a painful week for him. The Sox folded and missed the playoffs.
In the shotgun, Chapman hands off to Richardson. Gains a yard up the middle. It'll be 2nd and 9. So back into Galesburg territory go the Rock Island Rocks. Leading by 18. As we approach the end of the third quarter, under 30 seconds to go. On 2nd and 9, Chapman stays in the shotgun. High snap, starts to run with it, and then tosses to Brandon Richardson on the outside, and the Streaks again force him to go to the inside, and he's brought down right at about the 49-yard line.
Well, coming up to make the tackle, Ryan Darby.
Yep.
And Darby led with his left shoulder, hit him hard, but Darby actually got the worst of that. He came away holding his shoulder on that. It really, especially on a cold night, I just always found it so tough in that cold weather. Everything just gets magnified.
Clock stopping here with 12 seconds to go in the third quarter, and we're going to mark off 10 yards against Rock Island, so they're going to move it back to the Rock Island 41-yard line.
It's got to be the cold weather. I look over at those Rock Island. We've never been here when I've seen that few people in the stands at a Rock Island game.
Especially for a team that's ranked fourth in the state, yeah. Won five in a row.
And, I mean, they had more than that when the game started, but still not that many. But they just everybody's gotten soft up here, I guess.
The streak's sturdy third-quarter defense continues. They shut out Rock Island. They have still given up only 6 points in the third quarter all season long. They play sharp here again. They cut the deficit to 28-10. Fourth quarter coming up with the Rocks on top. But second and 18 coming up for Rock Island at their own 41. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I discovered Handy Van would give my buddy and me a ride out to Lake Story. So we've been loading up our fishing poles and tackle boxes a couple of times a week. It's so great to get out and do something.
Whether you're faced with a temporary or permanent disability, a doctor's appointment isn't the only reason to leave the house. Get out there, live your life. Call Handy Van, we'll pick you up, as well as your personal assistant to help you manage your belongings. And we'll take you back home. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Tune in to Fighting Illini football tomorrow afternoon as the Illini take on Wisconsin. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks trail Rock Island 28-10 as we begin the fourth quarter. Rock Island on second and 18 from their own 49. Chapman back to pass, looking, now flushed out of the pocket, gets the pass away, and it's incomplete, and only at the 41-yard line, so it would have been a very short gain, but underthrown a little bit as he had to get that one away under pressure, and the Streaks defense continue to hang tough here, now third and 18.
Yeah, you know, and you might be tempted to think, well, you know, Rock Island built the big lead. Maybe they've called the dogs off a little bit, but I don't think that's the case here at all.
No, I don't either.
Got all the same players in there. Galesburg's just made enough adjustments and hung in there, and I think Rock Island, after a lot of momentum and a surge early in this game, this thing settled in, and Galesburg's going toe-to-toe with them.
Huge third down for the Streaks defense on third and 18. Chapman with a pass on the far side to Willies. They run him out of bounds right at the 41-yard line, maybe at the 40, and that's right at the first down marker. But if they say he's out at the 41, he's going to be short of the first down. But will they go for it on fourth and one?
I would think so. It might be a gamble when you're up 18, but I would think with the confidence and the swagger they have.
And you're back in Galesburg territory.
Yeah. But that's the shame of it, playing these guys. That was too easy. with a big target like Willie's, it picked up a big chunk of yardage and it just made it look super easy.
Sure did. Out of the shotgun, Chapman hands off. No! Right, and the Streaks defense comes into play.
Woo!
But they but it was Chapman who kept it.
Oh,
Chapman did keep it.
What a disguise. We thought Hawkins had hit him for a big loss there.
Chapman went just to the left of the tackle, and he got down to the 38-yard line, and that's enough for the first down.
Good thing I wasn't out there, the guy to run for a touchdown, because I was sure the other guy had the ball. So was Hawkins. I think Matt actually got up and he started holding his helmet. He couldn't believe the guy didn't have the ball.
So from the Galesburg 38 on a fourth down conversion for Rock Island, Chapman stays in the shotgun, swing pass to the outside, comes up short, incomplete. Second and 10. Rock Island 0 for 2 on third downs in the second half. But they have faced third down only 6 times tonight because they've had such quick strike scoring ability. They had the 3-play scoring drive on their opening possession, a 5-play scoring drive on their second possession. They had one possession that started inside the Galesburg 20 after a turnover. We're just underway in the fourth quarter. We played only 40 seconds. It's 28-10 Rock Island on second down. Chapman on the keeper trying to roll to the outside, and he runs right into Holloway and Parks, stopped at the 31-yard line, and it'll bring up third and 3.
Final score from Peoria, as they usually do. The Richwoods Knights beat Central, but wasn't easy. 21-14, the final Richwoods. We'll see them in 2 weeks.
Under 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Rock Island maybe in a situation where they don't want to have the quick scoring strike. Run some time off the clock. Two wideouts to the far side. Single setback with Chapman. He will toss it to Richardson. Trying to get to the outside. Strung out and hit high and hit low and dropped at the 35-yard line for a loss of four.
Moss got him out there, I believe. And he went down in a hurry.
Yeah, he kind of whirly-gigged around, and now he's finally up. He's the last guy off the ground. Everybody else had cleared away. He got popped pretty good there at the 35.
And I wondered if I saw a penalty flag, but now are they just talking about the spot here, or was there a flag?
Well, Coach Tim Doherty is down here on the sideline, and he's barking at the official saying it needs to be moved back. And there it goes. Yep, so they are going to take the penalty.
Okay.
And it's back at the 45-yard line. And that'll bring up third and, well, we'll call it third and 17. Back at the 45, and they've got to get to the 20. Well, they got to get inside the 28-yard line for a first down here. Third and 17 with under 10:20 to go in the fourth quarter. Streaks again need a big third down stop. Out of the shotgun, across the middle, batted away. It falls incomplete. Diving across, O'Brien Allen out of the linebacker spot. Knocks it down, and it'll bring up fourth and 17. And now the punt unit comes on. They want to pin Galesburg deep.
Well, probably the worst-kept secret in the place was they were going to throw the ball to Derek Willis. Their all-star receiver, number eight, runs a slant in the middle, but the ball just behind him. No chance to catch it, even for a guy as athletic as him.
Good protection for the punter. Gets it high, spinning oddly. It's kind of a short kick, then takes a big Rock Island bounce forward. But as it bounces forward, it also bounces out of bounds. And the Galesburg are not going to be pinned back quite as deep as Rock Island had hoped. They'll have it at the 20 with 10:03 to go in the game. The Streaks can move it downfield, get it into the end zone. That would get them within 11. They would still need two more possessions to have a chance, but it gets a little more interesting, certainly. 10:03 to go, so lots of time, but Rock Island can force you to take that time off quickly. You know, on Galesburg's scoring drive to begin the third quarter, they started at the Rock Island 42, and it still took them almost 5 minutes to get it down those final 42 yards to get their touchdown, their first and only of the night. Hand off up the middle, and that won't go for a big play, a gain of a couple. Out of the fullback spot for Matt Kitch. Gain of two.
Silver Streaks need to be efficient in not wasting a whole lot of time in the huddle. Don't take all your allotted time here when you're down 18. You don't want to get a hurry and fumble or anything, but still a little using a little bit of urgency wouldn't hurt here.
Tight ends packed in tight. They're going to give it to Diggins, and Rock Island knew exactly that's what was coming. And Diggins, I don't know if he even got back to the 20-yard line,
yeah.
let alone the line of scrimmage at the 22.
And I think he's cramping again because he's still down.
Looks that way. Yep, he's going to lose three back to the 19-yard line, and he's got the helmet off, and the officials want to call an official's timeout to allow Trevon to stretch it out here. And he's get my leg up in the air, get me stretched out.
You know, as much trouble as he's had with this thing the whole season, it'll be interesting to see if it carries over to basketball season. I mean, you don't usually see guys cramping in basketball, but you get a chronic one like that, it doesn't heal overnight. It has a tendency to do that, so we'll have to see what basketball season brings.
I asked him about it at school one day. He said, you know, ever since I was little in football, he said, it's always been a problem. I said, what about track? He said, one time he could remember cramping up in track. I said, basketball? Never.
Huh.
So.
Because we never saw it last year.
No, we sure didn't. 12 to go in the game. Streaks down 28-10 with Diggins on the field getting the right leg cramp stretched out. Streaks will face 3rd and 11 from their own 19 when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Hey!
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Stay informed with Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Ron walking off the field, helmet in hand. He seems to be walking fine after getting that leg cramp stretched out. Still 14-0 Alleman over Rock Island. Two Alleman touchdowns by Tom Noe in the first quarter, and nothing has changed since then. Quincy now leads United Township 44-12. And Monmouth-Roseville hanging on to that lead over Rockridge, 25-20 in the third quarter.
Go Titans, looking to become playoff eligible and make a statement win.
Third and 11. Hand off to the second man through. Holloway trying to bounce to the outside. Cuts back to the middle at the 22. He gets back the three that Diggins lost on second down, and it'll be fourth and 8 for the Silver Streaks. And with 8:49 and counting to go, Drake Sykes does head out onto the field for the punt.
Football in Galesburg tomorrow. Knox Prairie Fire at home against Beloit. I think they're going to finally break that losing skid. I think they're going to get Beloit tomorrow.
Wouldn't that be great? Sykes' punt, good protection, gets it away, and that one does a heck of a job knifing through the thick, cold air. That was just a tight spiral off Drake's foot, and it's down at the 25-yard line for Rock Island. How about that?
Yeah, whoever was back for Rock Island, he just watched it sail over his head.
It landed 10 yards behind him.
Yeah. No idea that ball was going to go that far, like you said, on this cold night. What a kick by Sykes.
53 yards. And Rock Island takes over. This is its worst field position of the night, their own 25, with 8:18 to go in the game. Everything they have had, starting field position, near the 50, at the 50, or deep inside Galesburg territory, one after a blocked punt, one after a fumble recovery. Handoff left. Hard four-yard run by Richardson on first down. Getting across left side. Markell just kept the legs pumping. He did somehow get up to the 30-yard line out of all that. So looking more and more like next week's game between the Silver Streaks at home against Quincy is going to have all of the implications that we thought it would. Brandon Richardson this is Markell again, trying to get to the outside. Streaks strung him out nicely. He's able to work his way up only to the 31-yard line. It'll bring up third and 6.
Well, basically, next week's game's a playoff game.
Yep, it pretty much is.
Because
both teams needing to win.
Needing that win to become playoff eligible.
Quincy needs to win out. They've got to win that one to keep in the playoff hunt.
And win their final game. The Streaks could come that way with just one more win, and they certainly don't want to have it go down to Richwoods.
Well, that happened 2 years ago, and the Streaks played their hearts out against the Knights, but lost 14-6 in a great battle, and they didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, they don't want to have to come down to that again. Hand off to the right side, and I think the Streaks managed to hold here again. Little dive up to the 34-yard line. Richardson again. And they're going to bring up fourth and 1. So the Streaks defense has played tight here in the second half, shutting out the Rocks, but only one touchdown so far has still kept them down 18 as we approach the 6.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Well, and next week, that game looks to be a dead heat. I would think Galesburg and Quincy very evenly matched, with the exception of injuries come into play this time of year. And again, without Jonathan Mixon, that's a real blow to us. And maybe he'll be back next week, but he hasn't been able to get much done here tonight.
Ben Holloway makes the catch at the 35-yard line after Streaks put a little bit of a rush on the punter, but he got it away. 35 is where the Silver Streaks take over. So compared to a 53-yard punt by Drake Sykes, Rock Island comes back with a 31-yard punt. And you can see what a huge difference it makes for the Silver Streaks, as we were talking about just before halftime with Sykes and Laird on the team this year. 6:13 to go in the game. Silver Streaks down 18 at their own 35. Need to break one off here. Haven't seen it for a couple weeks. There's Kitch with a nice run up the middle. And he works his way all the way up to the 45-yard line, and he's still on his feet. And finally, the officials blow the play dead. What a run by Matt Kitch. He's going to be right at the first down marker. And where are they going to bring this down exactly? The nose of the football sitting right at the 45.
Yeah, quite a run by Kitch. The officials let that one play out.
They did.
They didn't blow that whistle until the scrum had completely stopped moving. And it was a scrum. They're probably the 22 players on the field, I would guess about 18 were all gathered around that ball.
Six carries for Matt Kitch tonight, 25 yards, second and less than a yard. They'll go handoff. This is
Holloway, I think. No, it's Mixon.
No.
No?
Well, we're trying to figure out. Well, this is. Oh, it's J.J. Range.
Oh.
Okay. So J.J. getting his first varsity carries of the season, and he gets a first down into Rock Island territory at the 44, at the 46, rather. Isaacson, here's a flag down as Kitch takes the handoff up the middle. So with Diggins battling the cramp on the sideline, Mixon on the sideline with the ankle injury, Kitch and Range along with Holloway in the backfield. Referee works his way out of the Galesburg players with the flag down back at the 47. Still talking it over with his colleagues. Make sure he's going to get the right call here. And the illegal shift against the Silver Streaks. Takes it back to the Galesburg 49 for a loss of five.
Well, if we could just, and I'm sure Coach Doherty addresses that, if just get these guys in the first quarter to play as well as they do the rest of the game. They've really held their own against two very good programs here in the last 2 weeks. The first quarter has just been the killer.
Holloway goes in motion, gets the handoff, stops, then tries to spurt upfield, right up the middle, gets just across the 50, back into Rock Island territory at the 49. That'll bring up second and 12 now.
Clock moving down towards 4 minutes, yep, probably by the time we get this snap off.
Yep. Holloway, 8 carries tonight for 21 yards. He's been a marked man. Single setback as Kitch. He gets the handoff, tries to work his way across a little bit of a hole, working left. Gets to the 47. And it'll bring up third and 11 for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg only 1 of 7 on third downs tonight, and this is third and a long one. Under 4 minutes to go in the game now.
Credit to the Galesburg faithful. I don't exaggerate, Brad, when I say I think we have as many people on our side as they do on theirs.
Ours are bunched together a little more closely. We're the smarter group. Keep
right.
Warm. That's right. Peyton Isaacson with a catch, a perfectly thrown pass to O'Brien Allen. He gets popped pretty good on the reception, but he's down right at the first down marker. They're going to spot the ball at the Rock Island 42, and it's going to bring up fourth and one. Perfectly thrown ball from Isaacson to O'Brien Allen, who paid for it. And now the Streaks on fourth down, approaching the three-minute mark of this game. Another Peyton Isaacson sneak, perhaps?
I don't know. A full yard, I'm not sure.
And it is, absolutely. Full yard, yep.
He goes
Isaacson
for it.
Right up the middle with a sneak. Looks like he gained two right up to the 35. So the Streaks convert on fourth down again. 4 for 4 tonight on fourth downs. Clock stopping with 2:53. They'll get the chain set and then roll it again. But the Streaks quickly running out of time, down 3 possessions. But you know, shut out Alleman in the second half last week and trying to pitch a second-half shutout against Rock Island here tonight. Range with the carry, working right. gets tripped up just across the 35-yard line to the 34.
Seems like we saw another range wearing a number 34 at some point, didn't we?
Hmm. I don't know what you're talking about, Jim. That was ancient history.
We are ancient.
14 years ago, second place, finish in the state. For Range, Thompson, Glasgow, Thiel, Tapper.
And Young.
Young whippersnapper by the name of Boucher. Here's Holloway running all over the place. Gets to the left, then cuts his way back across the middle of the field. Finally taken down by the Rocks defense inside the 20-yard line. A little slow to get up, but he'll be all right. Holloway with a big carry down to the 17. Gain of 17. That nearly doubled his rushing total tonight from 21 yards up to 38 yards. Under 2 minutes to go, and the clock continues to roll. From the Rock Island 17, Isaacson quickly brings the team under center. Hand off to Range. Hesitation, then dives forward to the 15-yard line. Pickup of a couple more.
Well, we've done the game plan in the second half, and that was to keep the Rock Island offense off the field for great chunks of time. Unfortunately, they were able to put up four fairly quick touchdowns in the first half, and that's going to be enough for them to win the ball game. We're just trying to make it even a little more respectable on the scoreboard.
Hand off Holloway, now cuts back up toward the middle. He might have gotten inside the 15-yard line, but wouldn't have been a whole lot more than that. And the Streaks want to burn a timeout here with third down upcoming, third and long. And they'll spot it at the 13-yard line, so he did pick up two. So a minute 14 to go in the game. Sophomores ended in an 8-all tie tonight. Silver Streaks varsity. A minute and 14 away from dropping to 4-3 on the season and 2-2 in the Western Big Six. This would be their first road loss of the year. And needing a victory, at least one victory in the next 2 weeks, with Quincy at home next week and Peoria Richwood's in town the following week. And those aren't going to be easy games.
Hoping to get another road game, because if we go 5-4 and make the playoffs, not many 5-4 teams get to play at home. So I'm guessing we would probably be on the road in a playoff game.
And
hopefully not at Oaklawn Richards or Joliet Catholic.
That's the one I was thinking, a Joliet Catholic. Although, you know, they're only 4-2, so they're not that tough this year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they don't play anybody up there.
They're only ranked fourth in the state. Have to run into Morris. Remember a really horrible trip up to Morris back in 92. Swing pass to the outside. Holloway with a catch. Bursts inside the 10-yard line. Rolled down at about the 5. And the Streaks are going to have a first and goal here. Just inside the 5-yard line. Little 9-yard gain. 30 yards through the air for Ben Holloway. And a little dive play up the middle. That'll get the Streaks a little bit closer. We're under a minute to go in the game.
Say, we got to get after it pretty quick. We'll run out of clock. But we don't have too much real estate to grab yet to get that ball into the end zone.
Down to the last yard, and the Streaks hustle up out of the huddle quickly. Second and goal from the 1. Isaacson with the keeper trying to back his way in now.
Nope.
But it looks like he came up short. And it'll be third and goal.
Another timeout, Silver Streaks.
Yep, with 36 seconds to go. So this is all about momentum going into next week now.
I'd like to thank Ellsberg Nissan once more tonight for our transportation up here. A 2012 Nissan Altima SL. The sharpest ones I've ever seen. Black leather, as Brad said, heated seats we're going to utilize. Bose sound system. It's going to be tough to drop the keys off to this one tonight. In fact, when you go to see Jeff Klank and Mike Schmidt and company, ask for a different car, because I want this one the rest of the sports season. So this is going to be the official Silver Streak Mobile. It's black, which fits right in.
Right.
We'll put a little gold stripe on the side, and we'll be good to go. So we'll see if we can make that work with Jeff and company. of course, certified pre-owned benefits on all their used vehicles at Galesburg Nissan, including an 84-month, 100,000-mile limited warranty, among other things. So stop by and say hi at their new location next to the Sandberg Mall in Galesburg.
A drive for pride coming out of the timeout. Streaks from the one-yard line. J.J. Range with the handoff and the touchdown. 28-16 with 32 seconds to go in the game. Welcome to the varsity, J.J. Range. 14 yards on that drive for the Silver Streaks. 14 of the 65 yards with 32 seconds to go in the game. And the Silver Streaks will help draw some attention. Down 28-3 at halftime to be able to show on the final scoreboard a more respectable score and hopefully shutting them out for the remaining 32 seconds of this game. Not many teams will be able to say they shut out Rock Island for a half.
Well, we can go with the onside kick, but even recovering it, we're still more than a touchdown away, so pretty insurmountable lead, but it is nice to see him come back so hard.
Streaks are going to go for two, and Holloway just gets buried. Started to the outside, then tried to cut up the middle, and that one didn't work. So it stays at 28-16 with 32 seconds to go in the game. And, you know, here again, Streaks do go 65 yards. But that started with 6:13 to go in the game. So it still took him 5.5 minutes just to move those 65 yards. Along with the 5 minutes, the nearly 5 minute scoring drive to open the second half. But they had to go just over 40 yards to get that one. So Rock Island makes you work for it. For all their quick play scoring ability, their defense is very strong at not giving up the big play on the other side. And if you're going to score on Rock Island, you have to do exactly what the Streaks have done here tonight. And, oh, by the way, congratulations to Susan Sandoval of Knoxville. With that touchdown, she wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Congratulations, Susan. Both she and Mike Thurman of Galesburg, winners tonight, and they're also eligible for a party sub from Lieber's Boxcar Express in the final drawing at the end of the season, which we hope involves at least one playoff game. But Streaks are going to have to get a win next week and or the week after in order to make that happen. Down 28-16 with 32 seconds to go in the game. And the Streaks heavy on the left side of the field, only Michael Moss on the near side of the field, with Sykes pointing that direction for the onside kick coming. And the hands team up right at the 50. The low spinning kick bounces high up into the air, and Rock Island gets it at the 46-yard line. Well, that's appropriate. Half the drives they've had tonight have started at their own 46. So they'll have this final drive at their own 46.
Yeah, Sykes kicked it pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
Got the high hop, and, it went the 10 yards plus. But it's just one of those that happened to hop right conveniently into the breadbasket of one of the defenders who was able to just gobble it up. So one ought to pretty well do this one.
Well, Coach Tim Doherty has to be proud of how his defense responded in the second half. And again, as you mentioned earlier, Jim, the starters were out there the whole time for Rock Island. Maybe they didn't play with quite as much intensity. But nevertheless, the Silver Streaks pitch a shutout in the second half. They'll end up losing tonight 28-16. And again, you hope kind of keep some of that confidence going into that game that they will need so much next week at home against Quincy.
Yeah.
They come up here and get blown out 45-3. Uh-huh.
And that's what it looked like was going to happen
right early.
And I just feared for where our mental state would be next week. But now you got to feel like these guys still have some confidence in what they might be able to do in that game against Quincy.
So that's the final, 28-16. When we come back on the post-game show, we'll get a word with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty, look through the final stats, and set up next week's game. 28-16, Rock Island wins it. Post-game show up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends. Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their joint camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together. They're better.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's, and 1 in 4 are winners. Hard to beat those odds.
Well, if I used a supercomputer,
Silence!
Okay.
It's the 20th edition, and there are more prizes than ever. Big cash, Big Macs, and My Coke rewards. The simple joy of winning.
No purchase necessary. Odds based on game pieces. Each has 2 game stamps, mostly food prizes. In-store game ends 10/22. Online game ends 11/3. Must be 13 to play online or claim My Coke rewards. Subject to official rules at McDonald's and play at McD.com. See rules for complete details.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
28-16 the final as Rock Island defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Where the Silver Streaks could hardly blink in this game. They were down 28-0 as the Rocks scored on their first two possessions. In fact, their first scoring possession of the game lasted just 47 seconds, a three-play scoring drive that covered 51 yards, and 36 of those yards were through the air. The quarterback, Chapman, to Willie's 15 yards, and then the 21-yard scoring touchdown that made it 7-0. Again, just 47 seconds into the game. Streaks' first possession of the game, three plays and a punt. Back came Rock Island. The drive started from their own 46-yard line. They ran five plays and included one incomplete pass, but a Brandon Richardson 29-yard run. And then Chapman found Holmes for a 6-yard touchdown. And not even just over four minutes into the game, the Streaks were already down 14-0. Rock Island did have a field goal attempt from their own 8-yard line. That was no good. That allowed the Streaks to kind of hang in there for a while, and then some miscues ended up costing them. From their own 12-yard line with 9:24 to go, in the second quarter. Diggins ran a two-yard run, and then Mixon, on his last carry of the game, he was playing with a bad ankle. Mixon fumbled the ball away that Rock Island recovered at the Galesburg 11-yard line. Two plays later, a Brandon Richardson three-yard run and an eight-yard run put him into the end zone, and it was 21-0. Then on the next streak's possession at the 7:41 mark is where that drive started in the second quarter. Drake Sykes in for the punt got blocked, which Rock Island recovered at the 19-yard line. Took him five plays and 2 minutes and 21 seconds to get Chapman, the quarterback, with a one-yard touchdown run, and it was 28-0, with just over 2.5 minutes to go in the first half. So two big scoring plays to begin the game, and then a forced turnover, a fumble recovery, a blocked punt on special teams. That gave Rock Island a four-touchdown lead and more than what they would need the rest of the night. The Streaks did get a 30-yard field goal from Tanner Laird to end the first half, so they went in down 28-3, heading to the locker room. Coming out in the second half, the Streaks had the ball and took advantage of it. A big Ben Holloway return to the Rock Island 42-yard line, set up in great field position, their best of the night, and the Streaks took advantage of it. Took them 10 plays to go those final 42 yards, but they did it in 4 minutes and 54 seconds. Diggins ran it in from 2 yards out. The extra point made it 28-10 with 7:06 to go in the third quarter. And that's kind of where we stayed. Back and forth, punt here, punt here, punt here. Silver Streaks ended up finally scoring on their final possession of the game, a drive that started at their own 35-yard line with 6:13 to go in the game. They finally punched it in. J.J. Range gets a scoring touchdown run on the varsity on his first game in the varsity. Four carries, 14 yards total on that scoring drive. Streaks went for two, did not convert, and they end up losing 28-16. We'll get Coach Tim Doherty's thoughts when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, by Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster. Your hands grip tighter. Your heart beats harder. And time slows down. The weight of the team is on you. And you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove's Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
Glenn Beck, weekday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Streaks fall tonight, 28-16. Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes afterwards to talk with us. This game's so similar to last week. Played a get blown out, but the team pulled itself together, made itself made a good football game here. From that standpoint, you got to be proud.
Yeah, right now my focus is I'm frustrated at the first half because that's clearly not us. And you know the kids righted it at halftime, but we to beat good teams like that, you got to play 48 minutes. And unfortunately, we didn't play 48 minutes. And it's all across the board in the first half. But, again, credit to kids that came back. Rock Island's a very good football team.
Well, they went through us twice quickly. They threw the ball a lot, threw it very well, and mixed it up. Then, of course, we gave them one cheapie on a short field, and that ended up being a really key part of this ball game.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, at the time, it didn't seem like because it was going to be a blowout, but it ended up being probably a big deciding factor. But, you know, we just ran out of time in the second half. But, again, credit to kids, you know, our kids, you know, bouncing back and playing, you know, what we're capable of in the second half.
In both of these games, Alleman and this one, have you made a lot of adjustments as the game has gone along to slow down the offense of those teams that they look so easy early, or have kids just gotten into the flow of the game as it went along?
Nope. I'd like to say we did, but, you know, it's just when you're playing teams that are more athletic than you, you know, we just have to play faster earlier. But I'd like to say we're making, you know, all these adjustments, but we're really not. It's just a matter of the kids playing at a faster speed what they're capable of, and I don't think we did that in the first half. So they had a couple wrinkles in early that we didn't adjust to, and then got situated and did better with it. But, you know, we clearly played better in the second half.
Offensively, we played without Jonathan Mixon for most of the night. He played a couple of series, but he's a guy that's been responsible for a large share of the offensive yards we've gained this year, and yet to come out with, like you said, basically an underclassman finish to this game and to be holding your own had to say something.
Well, no question. But credit to the kids. Like I said, we had three sophomores in the backfield and in the second half, and kids did a great job.
Good effort tonight. Thanks, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Streaks head coach Tim Doherty for joining us after the game for some comments. We'll take a break here on the post-game show. Give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back. 28-16, Rock Island wins it. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's football Saturday, and it's homecoming. Cheer on your Fighting Illini when they host the Indiana Hoosiers for Illinois' homecoming game Saturday, October 27th at 11 a.m. Coming off last year where the Illini won 41-20 in Bloomington, Indiana is going to be a team that the Illini will not overlook in their quest to bring home a homecoming title. And don't forget to get there early to visit Street Fest, providing free family fun, including live entertainment and inflatables. It's your Fighting Illini hosting the Indiana Hoosiers Saturday, October 27th at 11 a.m. Get your tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Sir. Stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Calling all weekend warriors. Arm yourself with the power tools you need to destroy that honey-do list. If remodel is your middle name and do-it-yourselfing is your game, Galesburg Electric is your ally in the war against never-ending home projects. With over 30,000 items in stock, you can rest assured.
If they don't have it, it may not even exist.
So when you're knee-deep in the trenches of home improvement or staring into the eyes of the project from hell, you need backup. Head to Galesburg Electric first on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
This is your substitute pilot speaking. Due to the $5.99 great haircut sale at Great Clips, I'm subbing in for the entire crew. Don't be alarmed. This baby's got autopilot. I'm actually in the bathroom right now. Enjoy your flight.
A price so low, everyone will go. The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale is back at Great Clips. Get a great haircut for only $5.99 for a limited time. Download our free check-in app. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale goes through Monday at Great Clips, out by Super Walmart in Galesburg.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Statistically, quite a turnaround in this game here tonight. Silver Streaks never able to fully come back, down 28-3 at halftime. They end up falling tonight by a final of 28-16. But here's just a little bit statistically about this game. At halftime, Rock Island had run the ball 16 times for 127 yards, passed the ball 8 times for 75 yards. So 21 total plays, either through the air or on the ground, and they'd racked up 202 yards. In the second half, compared to 5 for 8 passing in the first half, the Streaks held Rock Island to 1 of 4 passing in the second half, compared to 16 rushes in the first half, only 9 in the second half for 20 yards in the second half. So, Silver Streaks hold Rock Island to 37 yards total in the second half. And that's a big part of the reason why they shut them out. And again, never really able to get anything going offensively enough to come all the way back in this game and fall tonight by a final of 28-16. But under the circumstances, Jim, you don't have Jonathan Mixon, who's such a weapon. You know, anybody with a guy like Mixon on their team, not to have him is going to be in a difficult position. And then you lose Trevon Diggins, who was the key guy on the one scoring drive to start the second half. So, as you talked about, three sophomores leading that final scoring drive at the end of the game to shut them out when they've got their starters on the field. I think the Silver Streaks, while you definitely would have liked to have seen them win this game, they did what they had to do to set themselves up to be in position next week in what may be a must-win game against Quincy.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best point of the night. They go out of here with their heads high. Coach Doherty in the huddle said, I don't want you guys to leave at all feeling satisfied about this. He said, I want you to feel bad. He said, because if you'd have got off the bus and played as he felt, with as much focus and as hard in the first quarter as they did the rest of the way, he felt like they had a chance to win this ball game. The only difference I see, and it's always hard to gauge this, I mean, you try and focus on what our team did, but you look at Rock Island, they had the same players on the field, but they certainly did not have the swagger and really didn't seem to have the play calling as this game went along after they got that 28-point lead as they did early. They were very aggressive. We're doing a lot of no-huddle stuff or semi-huddle. They were quick. They were mixing up the pass and the run. They got more conservative as the game went along. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Galesburg, but I wonder how invested the Rocks were in it the rest of the way. And I think as you watch this one unfold, that was rather evident. So I think it works out well for us, but I don't think we can get too puffed up by it because I'm not sure, you know, the same Rock Island team that hit us in the first quarter was really their mental.
Talk about all night long was the fact that Amos Johnson did not play for Rock Island tonight. Here's a running back who comes into this game with 858 yards rushing, averaging 11.5 yards a carry, and because of what we think was an injury, again, we never got the chance to talk to Rock Island head coach Brian Stortz this week, so we don't know fully what the reason was.
Maybe that's why he wouldn't talk to us.
But he but he doesn't play tonight either, so we
kind
didn't
of
have
balanced out.
Yeah,
right.
We didn't have our big offensive weapon, but neither did they. Mm-hmm. So, and yet they still get out to a huge lead in the first half and end up winning this fairly comfortably.
Well, they did still have their offensive weapon, though, in Derek Willis. I thought he was the difference maker, the wide receiver for Rock Island early in this one. He was the guy, and when they had to have some yardage and, in fact, to score as well, they went to him.
So our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game tonight.
A lot of candidates. Nobody can really jump out, especially in a game like this. I mean, I think of
Ben Holloway has the big return.
Yeah.
The kickoff return that kind of sets things up. Then Trevon Diggins handles much of the yardage, including a big run on a third and long. Mm-hmm. Matt Kitch also had a big run on third down that kept that scoring drive alive.
Yeah.
Actually, Diggins's was on fourth down. Kitch's was third down. Diggins's was on fourth down.
Yeah.
And ended up scoring the touchdown later on. Yeah, I don't know. Drake Sykes had a huge punt that pinned Rock Island deep.
Yeah, defensively pretty balanced. I can't really say, you know, we had a couple of guys that almost made big plays.
Yes.
Just couldn't quite get it done. And I guess I might lean a little bit toward a guy that we haven't given it to yet, and Matt Kitch. For the run you mentioned, he had several other times. That one time out of midfield, he took about half of both teams down the field.
That's right.
And, you know, filled in admirably in the absence of Jonathan Mixon. And we needed somebody in there to you know, he wasn't Jonathan, but he sure did a pretty nice job on a number of mm-hmm. occasions. And so I think, well, maybe the fact that he helped stabilize things and never fumbled, took good care of the ball, and I might lean toward Matt tonight.
Matt it is. Matt Kitch, the senior linebacker, and tonight fullback. 8 carries, 29 yards, and a key part of the streak scoring drive that started to try to get them back into this game when they opened up the third quarter with the score. 28-16, the final. Streaks fall by 12. They're 4-3 in the season, 2-2 in the Western Big Six. Sophomores end up in an 8-8 tie. We're back home next Friday night with Quincy in town, first of two home games to end the regular season. Our thanks and happy anniversary to Brian Prescott at the downtown studios. Love the job that he does for us and keeping things under control for us. Again, the Cardinals win tonight as well, and Brian reminding us that 1:32 for the pregame on Sunday as the Cardinals, I don't know, maybe another postseason run. They got the job done tonight with a 6-3 win at crazy Turner Field in Atlanta.
Yeah, don't count them out.
Thank you, Jim. See you next Friday.
Very good.
28-16 the final. For Jim Lee, for Brian Prescott, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Rock Island.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.